my producer's going to get up a quote right now by F. Scott Fitzgerald, because this is actually the quote that explains everything about wealthy people. Let me tell you about the very rich. They are different from you and from me. They possess and enjoy early, and it does something to them. Makes them soft where we are hard, and cynical where we are trustful, in a way that, unless you are born rich, is very difficult to understand. Do you want to take a crack at what soft where we are hard might mean?
I mean, they could never stay in a hostel.
Good. You're getting it. Have you ever been on a public bus?
I have.
Guess who hasn't? Lauren DuPont.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Take Podcast, episode 411. The information is here. And the information is, I'm on with Joe List, and we're introducing Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Take, episode 411. We're live on stereo. Joe, how are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good. I mean, that was a great big nightmare, and I hated it. Something says I have a message tapped to play. I don't want to do that, right?
No, we're not going to play that. We're going to play messages at the end. People are going to leave messages. So this podcast I did with Tim Dillon of Tim Dillon fame, you might know him from the Tim Dillon show. We talked about wealth, the rich, and we talked about the rich, and what else did we talk about? And then a little bit the poor too. So I'm calling it "Eat the Rich, Gas the Poor."
Okay.
So I want you to help me set up. We're going to take calls later. So I figure for the messages at the end, and then we can riff off them. People should just leave messages about like how times were better when they were like poor, or vice versa.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Better idea. Yes, sir.
My phone battery is low. If I close my phone, like click it shut, will I lose you?
Let's try it.
I can't get back. Yeah, I'm going to try to close it.
You got it. Go for it.
Can you still hear me?
I can still hear you fine. Because you know what?
Okay, great.
Even when your phone screen is closed, you can still hear on the stereo app. It's great to be live on stereo today, podcasting to the people with Joe List.
The app is great.
Thank you very much. It is. I helped invent it. I'm a... Jews are not just in finance anymore. We're also in tech. Listen, you now have some money. When I met you, you were pretty fucking broke.
Yes, right? I had zero money when I met you, and I have some money now. That is accurate. Yes.
Yeah. What? Give me some examples of like, just like real life situation where like, oh, this is better now that I have cash.
Oh my God! Everything. I think I listen to a lot of psychological podcasts, therapy, Buddhist bullshit, and I think I'm at like the what?
What's the guy's name? You told me about one where you're supposed to say like. Ralph Harris? No, he's dead.
Sam Harris.
Yeah. He's not as funny as Ralph Harris, yeah.
No, he's the best. He might be funnier. I don't know Ralph Harris. But so I think I'm right in that sweet level where this is my level of money right now is I don't really have to worry too much about like takeout. I can get takeout. My rent is paid. I'm good. I'm like in a nice spot. I'm certainly far from rich.
Yeah. But you're also far from poor.
Yeah, well, in this business.
Well, right. Yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, fuck. What was I going to say? Something. Ah, shit.
You're far from poor. You're listening to Ralph Harris make jokes about baby's kids, even though that's
That never helps. That never helps when people do that.
Really?
Yeah, because it just distracts from my thought process.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then I'm just listening to you. Right.
Okay.
But yes, it's better to have money than to not have money.
I'll tell a story that I just that you reminded me of. Yep,
I thought of it. I was listening to one of those podcasts the other day, and it said if you make $25,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of money in the world. If you factor in the world. Yes.
Wow. Oh yeah, dude. I was in Indonesia taking a bus to East Timor. And some guy, I was talking to him, and he was like, to ask me about American dollars. And I was like, yeah. And I said, I have a 50 on me. He goes, a what? He was at 15. He was like, can I touch it? I showed it to him. He was like, this is worth so much money. And he's like, how far would this go in America? I'm like, not even one dinner. And he's like, what? I could pay my rent on this.
I think I told you this story before. When I was in Peru, I landed in Peru, and then I got in a cab, and they took me to like the hostel, and there was like this road, this really steep downhill cobblestone road. And he's like, I drop you here. Like, he spoke Brooklyn English. And I was like, okay, great. And I gave him, the total was whatever, I don't know, 40, whatever the fuck their money is, Peruvians.
Yeah.
And I just gave him like 60, and I was like, yeah, just take it. And the guy was like, what? And he just went, and he like drove up over the sidewalk and down this road. Like, it was like, like fucking down the road, and pulled up into the sidewalk and let me out at the hostel. And I was like, oh, dang. Like, I must have.
You own me now. My children will be renamed after you.
Yeah, I think I could have fucked his daughters and his, you know, blew his son or whatever. But yeah, it was pretty fun. And it was like, Louis has a joke like that where you tip a guy in another country and then he quits his job.
Yeah. And then he just like keeps living a new life. It's so great. I had I remember hearing Frank Thomas, you know, Frank Thomas, Big Hurt. And he was doing his renegotiation with the White Sox. And I just love quoting this. But he goes, yeah, my agent's going to hate me saying this, but I really don't want to go anywhere else. I have family here. I love this team. They've always been cool to me. So like, and it was just in his head. It's like, what's the difference between $12 million a year and $20 million a year? You know?
It's like $8 million, but yeah, I get the point.
You get what I'm saying, though, right? Where it's like having enough is a massive difference to having like way more versus like not enough.
Yeah, and that's how I am. I think you're similar. We've talked about this before. That's how I've always been with money. Like, if I do a road weekend and it pays, you know, $2,500, I'm like, if I spend $1,000, I'm still up $1,500. So let's go have some fun. I'm like, let's go have some fun. I'll go gamble and like, you know, buy people shit and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt Edgar told me once that I should take, I was like, I don't like taking merch on the road. I hate selling it. And he was like, well, some people want it. And I'm like, yeah, but fuck, it's so fucking annoying just to be out there. Like, you're a headliner. Then all of a sudden you're fucking hawking, you know, 100% cotton. And he goes, just view it as your baller money. Like, whatever you make from merch, that's what you can do for fun on the road. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And then it was like, fuck yeah. I've got like $400 to spend in 3 days in fucking Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's nice. And then you can give it away. It's fun to give people money or donate money. It feels good and it helps people out. So it's nice to spread it around if you have it. But I mean, I feel bad having this conversation now while the economy's, you know, destroyed.
Is it? I heard Mark Cuban's richer than ever.
Yeah, he's doing well. I heard this stat. You want to hear a crazy stat?
Yeah.
I think I'm probably going to fuck it up and your people will research it, whatever. But something like this. So don't get too upset.
I don't have a research fan base. I have a I heard once fan base.
Great. Well, I heard this the other day at dinner. Okay. If all the billionaires in America gave $2,000 to each adult American right now, the billionaires would still have more money than they had at the beginning of the pandemic.
What?
That's how much, because they're getting richer. They're all like Bezos is getting way richer. All these people are getting way richer. They could all just give us $2,000 and still have more money than they had in February.
So here's the deal, man. Here's the deal. Eventually, we're just going to take it. So it's up to them. But I don't know when that day is going to come. But the day is going to come where I'm like, all your security guards in the world are not going to stop a million pitchforks. We're coming for it. I don't know. That's what I think.
No, they'll never organize it because there's still millions of people that make $11 an hour that think someday they're going to be the rich people. That's why they hate taxes.
That's why who hates taxes? The poor.
All the poor people that vote a certain way are like, they're going to raise our taxes.
That I'm eventually going to get or not get.
They think at some point they'll make $2 million. And they're like, the government wants to take half my money. When in reality, they make 12 grand. You're like, the government's not raising your taxes.
That's hilarious. That's what fucking Chappelle had that joke right after Trump got elected. He goes, thank you, poor people, for protecting my tax interests.
Right.
I was going to do a drop for Spotify for stereo.
Oh boy.
What I'll do it later. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that somebody's going to be mad at me and tweet at me that I'm a cuck, liberal, fag, whatever. But,
well,
you know.
Well, yeah, yeah. These things happen. By the way, you guys, if you want to leave a message for me and Joe, either for some why you think the wealthy are fucking horrible, or some story of now that you have money, you missed something. So I'm going to ask you that, Joe. Now that you have some cash, some spending cash, you know, you can afford, well, not a beer, I was going to say, like, but that was one of the things when I was like super broke. I was like, I can't afford a beer. Unless somebody treats, I can't afford a $5 or $6 beer. No way. And now I can. So it's like that. Every time I get a beer, it's a sign of like wealth to me, you know?
Right.
But like, what do you, now that you have some money like that, whatever your beer money equivalent is, what do you miss about not having money?
Boy, that's tough. I do not. Yeah. Nothing pops to mind because it was miserable and unpleasant. There was a lot of anxiety. I hated it. What do I miss? Yeah.
I'll give you an example, and then you can tell me if that sparks anything. I went to a Firefly Festival a couple years ago, and my agent was like, I was like, can you get us tickets? I'll buy them. I just want to, like, it's sold out. I want to get in. And he was like, yeah, sure. And he was like, I was like, sweet, thank you. And he goes, why don't I try to get your VIP passes? And I was like, me and three normal people were going. And I was like, dude, we don't need it. And he goes, no, it's so much better. You go behind the stage and you do this. And I'm like, dude, we're just happy going to a festival. And just like getting a tent, sharing a 4-person tent and just fucking hanging out was so fun. And then when you get a certain level of opulence, suddenly like that's not good enough anymore. You know, being dirty is like you can't do it. You can't share a fucking hotel room with somebody anymore and have fun all night talking.
Yeah, boy, that's tough because I had so much anxiety. I was not embracing anything like that. I was always like, I don't have rent money. I mean, like, I had three roommates and, you know, some of them I certainly didn't want to be living with any of them, but some of them I really didn't want to live with. My room was 14 feet by 7 feet. I couldn't buy my girlfriend a meal.
14 feet by 7 feet? Did you say that wrong?
Yes, 14 feet by 7 feet. I could, with just a little bit of leaning,
Jesus.
I could touch both walls. Yeah, it was like a cell.
Wow. Do you miss that at all or not even?
No, I do not. No. Maybe if I thought I could look back on it with some amount of like, oh, that was fun. But no, most of it sucked. I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the feeling of somebody buying a meal was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Like the feeling, I guess, of in comedy when they're like, yeah, food's on the house. And you're like, the food. We can order any food. That feeling was fun. I mean, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was fun. And when you're just like, oh, I am going to go for it now.
Yeah, that
I am going to legit fucking make it happen.
I guess I miss that.
I can hear you. You're saying not much.
Yeah, I do not. No, it was horrible and depressing and scary and anxiety inducing.
Yeah,
and miserable, and sports now. Like I've gone to 2 World Series now. You know, I'm like,
what?
I can just fucking go. Yeah.
Oh, and the Red Sox. How lucky for you that they sucked in your poorest years.
How about the fact that I just happened to be in LA when they won the World Series in LA?
Wait, you went to that game?
I was there. I watched the Red Sox win the World Series with Chris Walsh. And
wow.
Also how lucky that the Dodgers have the most shit fans that they, when they went down 3-1, nobody went. So I just scooped up the ticket.
Yeah. They really are such fair weather fans for every sport, by the way. It's like they lost 2 football teams. They're about to lose another one. The Chargers ain't going to stay. And as soon as the Lakers started getting bad, all the Lakers flags fucking went away. And now they're all back again, I'm sure. They're such a shitty fucking organization. Actually, Dodgers, they probably like more than anybody. But man, they fucking suck as a fan base.
Yeah, but when they went down 3-1, it just, the fucking tickets liquidated. I don't know if that's a term.
Really?
That's not right. Liquidation? I was thinking liquidation of the ghetto.
Yeah. Maybe. It's a little different. Hey, speaking of, if you're just tuning in, we're live, coast to coast on stereo, everybody. Me and Joe List. Okay, so now here's another question, and then I'll start the podcast with Tim Dillon. You know Tim Dillon; he has great thoughts on fucking wealth in general. What do you hate about the wealthy? Because I assume you're much like me, where I don't view myself as someone who has as much money as I have. Even, you know, I got some, but not crazy amount. But even the amount I have, like a Brendan Sagalow, I'd be like, yeah, you're doing quite well, man. But I view myself still as like a door guy. So I'm like, you know, like my question is, when you look at the wealthy, what are you like? Oh, you guys suck. And for what reason?
Yeah, it's hard. I don't have the thing that a lot of people have where they're like, they're just fucking rich, whatever. That anger and fuck them and this thing.
Fuck them for being successful at all, you mean?
Some of them I do.
Yeah, that's unfair.
It's tricky because, what are you doing? You clipping your toenails? What's happening over there?
I'm putting on another camera. I decided to add another camera last minute.
Oh, all right.
Dude.
Oh, Jesus.
If I clip my toenails on the air, it's terrible sounding?
Yes.
Okay. If I start clipping my toenails on the air, that would be another level of don't give a fuck for me. Like a real, like, dude, you can't be trying any less than this.
Do you find when you clip your toenails shoot across the room? There's nothing, ends up in the trash?
Yes, sometimes. And then you have the problem, do you go get it?
No, never. Yeah, let that. It lives there now.
Yeah, when I'm in other people's houses or on the subway, that it's like I should pick it up. You know, I've never clipped my toes on the subway.
With the rich, it is tricky. I mean, there's some things that I'm like, I don't know how to solve that problem. I definitely am of the feeling that wealth, the income, fucking disparity, whatever the fuck it's called, inequality is staggering. I mean, like, there's so many stats, ways to put it, that there's 19 people that have more money than 98% of the rest of the world, all that shit.
Sure, I heard every billionaire give $2,000 to every person in America, and they still have more money than they had before the pandemic.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. There should be a ceiling, but I understand capitalism, too. I mean, like, I'm benefiting from capitalism. I like the idea of like, hey, people are buying my shit on Amazon. I invented it. They're buying it. Who the fuck's money should it be? But I do. I wish it's similar to guns for me. I think, you know, you got to have capitalism. I get it. It makes sense. And guns, you got to have them, whatever the fucking Constitution, blah, blah, blah. I just wish that the billionaires would give away more money and the people with guns would be like, I don't need a gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think there should be a cap, and I'm not even talking when I ask that question about, like, in general, wealthy people. I mean, like, specifically when you see a wealthy person. I don't think it should be a cap, because if you do, you're like, well, I'm just going to stop working. So what should I do? Like, if you just say you're Jeff Bezos, forget about treating his employees terribly and shit like that. I just mean, like, at some point, you're like, I'm making money. Now I'm making more. Should I stop working? That's not going to work. It's not going to work out if I just stop working. So, like, what do you want me to do? I'm talking about specifically when you meet a rich person and you're like, oh, you just don't fucking get it. I always find they have no relation to the poor. They can't even comprehend
what a
poor person's life is like.
I think I told you the story about I have a very wealthy friend, and I told him, I showed him my car. I bought a 2018 Nissan Sentra. He's like, this is great. You should be able to get a good 50, 60,000 miles out of this. I was like, I'm going to get
brand new
200,000 miles. Like, this is like a 60,000 miles, like a new car.
I'm going to drive this into the ground. What are you talking about?
I'm like, 60,000 miles. That's like a year and a half.
Oh, yeah. 15,000 a year. It's 10 to 15,000. You're talking about a 4 to 6 year car. Like, what? Yeah.
So that was really funny. But no, I don't know. It depends on who the rich person is, I guess. I mean, I know some rich people. I mean, I'm close friends with a really rich person. I've met some other ones. I don't have any serious animosity. But maybe if they got their money, if it was, you know, blood money or whatever the fuck, I don't know.
I'm just talking about rich in general. And also, new rich seems more interesting to me than old rich in different ways, you know, actually. Sometimes old rich has more style, but new rich sometimes is like, yeah, I get it. We can have a hot dog. That's okay. Whereas old rich will be like, no, I would never.
Yeah, I don't know. Fuck. I suck at this. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
One story I remember, and this didn't bother me. It's just interesting. Is once, and I don't even know if this is real or not, or if I've just told the story so many times I think it's real, but we were on the road with Rogan. This is like old Rogan. We still had plenty of money, but not like now. But like, one of our guys on the road with us, I think Eddie Broad, was like, oh fuck, I forgot my toothpaste. And Joe was just like, well, let's just go to the fucking, we'll stop by CVS and you can pick some up for $10. And we're all like, how much do you think toothpaste is? And he's like, I could see I'm wrong. Is it more or less? Like, it's far less. He's like, I don't look at prices. That's doesn't hilarious. Make me dislike. Yeah, it doesn't make me dislike rich people, but it's one of those things. I'm like, oh, sometimes that kind of attitude will result in them just like not getting. You know what I mean? Where it's like, it's tough to even keep in mind what poor people are going through when you've never gone through it. I heard a rich guy, they were talking about the income inequality, and he goes, and this is like one, like a billionaire son, and he goes, poor people should just work harder. They don't work hard enough. And it's like, yeah, you're not getting it.
Yeah, I mean, that's like millions of people think that way.
Yeah.
Millions and millions of people think that way in this country. It's horrendous.
Yeah, and it's like, what? You have soft hands, millionaire. What do you mean they don't work hard enough?
People think that way who don't have real money. People that make $28,000 a year think that way. They're like, they should get a job at fucking Sears the way I did. What's wrong with those people?
You're like,
motherfucker, you're poor.
It didn't work out for you. Why do you think it's worked out for you? By the way, we're live coast to coast on stereo. We'll listen to stereo right now. Guys, leave us a message. I'm going to start this podcast, and then Joe and I will wrap up a little bit, and then we'll start taking calls. But yeah. So yeah, man, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I think a lot of times the poor, I don't know, should take some responsibility. You ever think they have to take some responsibility for their place in the world, or never?
Well, I guess it depends. But this is you mentioned Sam Harris. Like, he talks about this a lot, where people, there's so many things that we think we control that we did. Yeah. Even like you and I, we're like, hey, we got money, we started our own business, we do comedy, we're talented, but we didn't choose our own brains, we didn't choose our parents, we got lucky with any amount of talent we had, certainly we worked on it, but even that, we were fortunate enough to be in a position where we were able to pursue whatever it was, you know, truth. Genetically, we're not retards, we don't have fucking autism.
You're talking about Jews.
Yeah, you're a Jew, that's a huge benefit. Your looks are not helping you. That's horrendous. But
no, that was, yeah, it was I started comedy at a time where good looking people were not supposed to be part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that might have helped you too.
You know, so we're certainly fortunate in a lot of those ways, our family was funny or whatever the fuck, so we learned funny somewhere.
Yeah, but there's no but.
No, I don't know. I forget what I was going to say. I'm not smart enough to make these points. But a lot of people
that the poor work harder.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them they're doing the best they can with whatever they were fucking given. I mean, it is easy to look at people that are like, that guy's not even. He didn't even tuck his shirt in, but it's like, well, he might have grown up in a way that nobody was like, hey, you got to tuck your shirt in, you fuckhead.
Oh, yeah. Or if you grew up cursing, like the wonderful whites of West Virginia, well, wonderful. You're like, you're not going to suddenly speak eloquently at a job interview. That's just not even in your wheelhouse.
Right. Exactly. And now, by the way, I'm saying this as we sit here in podcasts and I'm pontificating and I'm saying these things, but there's definitely a ton of times where someone's an asshole at McDonald's. I'm like, this is why you're working at McDonald's, you dumb piece of shit. You should have fucking paid attention.
It's so fun to do that. It's so much fun to be like, ha ha, you suck. Poor. I have ice cream. You have none.
It's easy to sit here and be like, well, you know, the people that they're poor, their parents, maybe they hit them and they were born into an unlucky circumstance. But don't get me wrong, I don't want to misrepresent myself. I'm definitely like these fucking loser comics that have no money. It's because they suck.
I want to tell you something. I'm gonna start the episode, and then I'll. By the way, thank you again. We're live on stereo. Thank you, stereo app, for sponsoring this podcast. I'm gonna start this, and then I want to tell you something about how all ages and managers, or most of them, are white.
I have a theory for that, because I'm always like, we need more whatever. But okay, so anyway. So, Joe, come back with me for the outro. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Dillon is my guest on today's podcast, Ari Shaffir Skeptics Tank, episode 411. What is it? Eat the rich, gas the poor, with Tim Dillon. Starts now. Oh, and Joe List has a new special out this year called I Hate Myself. Guys, he's fucking hilarious. Go on YouTube. Everyone has YouTube. And go watch I Hate Myself. Go look at it right now. It's a fucking hilarious special. He's one of the best in the game. You should definitely watch it. But let's start the show. And thank you. We're live on Stereo app. Thank you very much, Stereo, for sponsoring it. So let's start. Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 411. Eat the rich, gas the poor, with Tim Dillon. Starts now. Yeah, dude. Okay, so here's where they don't fuck around. One, you can't go into almost any store without getting your hands washed with sanitizer. Like, they spray you down. They take your temperature, which I know people say, like, I told you, it's like, that doesn't always help. It's like, if it helps more than zero. I don't know why America is so worried about erring on the side of overcaution.
Well, I think part of the problem is that the people here... The government here has given no one any money, right? Like, they've given people some unemployment and they gave them $1,200. But like, they are just like, they're saying like restaurants can open. So all the restaurant people go back to work, and then the business owners order a bunch of food, and then they go, sorry, we're wrong. You can't open. So then they got to throw out $100,000 worth of food. Yeah. And then all the fucking workers are back in their fucking houses. And then there's no assistance. So then people are getting angry because they're like, wait a minute. You can have flea markets outside, but you can't have outdoor dining. But you can't have churches are not allowed, but you can protest if you scream Black Lives Matter. There's no consistency. There's no consistency of the message.
Dude, hold on, Becky, what?
Can you please press record?
Yeah, I press record. You're right to ask me. All right. I fucked up so many podcasts by not pressing record. It's a key button. Dude, there's so many I went to a restaurant on 6th, I think, or 7th, it doesn't matter, in the East Village. And he was like, hey, you can't, if you have a beer in your hand, you have to sit down. I'm like, well, there's only 4 chairs. He goes, I know, so switch off. And I'm like, isn't that a dumb rule? He goes, you're talking to the wrong guy. I obviously know it's a dumb rule. Do you think I want to do this? Hello? Oh, you mean record on the...
Sorry. Oh, I press record.
Record this computer.
Thank you.
Okay, I get what you're saying now. I get what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty fucking dumb. It's just ineptitude from the start. It's just like no one's like... Or they go like, well, we got to protect old people. I'm like, sure. Have you seen any effort to help old people get groceries or to...
Right. No. The rules don't make any sense to anybody. So when the rules don't make any sense, nobody wants to... Listen, I don't like the speed limit, right? I mean, we all go over the speed limit, but we know why there's a speed limit. We know why they say 65 miles an hour and not the Autobahn in Germany where it's like there's stretches of it, you could go 200 miles an hour. We understand why there's a speed limit. People here don't understand why you can't sit on a patio and eat food outside in the sun where the transmission rate is very, very low, but liquor stores are open, which is like the worst thing for your fucking immune system to just get hammered. So you can go inside of a liquor store, purchase something that is going to hurt you and your ability to fend off this disease, but you can't go have a salad outside in the sun. It seems weird.
Yes, it does seem weird. And a lot of it's based on money, where they're like, the Macy's Day Parade can happen. And you're like, wait, why? Right. Or airlines can do okay. That's safe. I'm like, who's testing that? Have you seen any?
Right.
Whatever. I mean, it's a fucking mess. Here, they're
and
just not fucking around.
Hookups are weird. Like, I was just talking to a guy on Grindr. He goes, listen. He goes, I'm an EMT. So immediately I know there's going to be a problem. He goes, I'm an EMT. He's like, I don't meet up with anybody unless we're 6 feet away, socially distanced. My cousin's 23. He's on the verge of hospitalization. He goes, I'm so mad at the gay community right now because all of them are trying to hook up. And I'm like, no, I just want to talk and get to know you. You know, I like EMT. It's so interesting. But this is what we're doing now. It's like the hookup scene is now weird too, because you're getting shamed. And then there's people that are like, hey, I want to suck your dick.
It's one on one. So now let me ask you a question. Yeah. So the hookups are like, hey, we need to fuck because I can't spend all this time exposing myself to another person if it's not going to result in a fuck. I can't go out with three people to fuck once.
Right.
We've got to make this one count.
I think the reality is most people, if they're hooking up, they're like, hey, we're just doing it. We're doing whatever we're going to do. We're going to be at risk, right? Because even if you fuck somebody, I'm pretty sure you're both breathing and whatever. There's a high chance you're going to transmit it, right? I mean, I'm not a doctor, but what do I know? But it is weird now with the hookups because some people are like, hey, I'm not. Some people like, COVID doesn't exist. I don't care. They don't even bring it up. And then other people are like, Lewis. Hey, dude, and they go on this whole long soliloquy about it. So I don't know. I've not hooked up a lot of people. I may have hooked up since the beginning of quarantine, maybe 7 or 8 people. It's not a lot of people.
It's not a lot. One-on-ones,
it's not
too.
A lot at all.
I mean, actually, I don't know how it works in that world. Maybe it's not one-on-ones. Maybe it's
no, they're
trans.
All one-on. They're all one-on-ones. They're not orgies. I've met 7 or 8 people since the beginning of quarantine. Maybe 9 people. And in what? 8 months? It's like 1 a month. It's like nothing.
Not bad. I mean, you know, listen. You got to spit in somebody's mouth. You can't completely change who
completely,
you are.
So the whole thing now is like, it is funny though now because everybody has a different code of ethics with the hookups now, where it's like, hey, have you been tested? Who are you seeing? Some people are asking each other, like, do you live alone? Like, that used to be a shitty how much money do you have question, right?
Uh-huh.
Hey, do you live alone? Like, do you have money? Now it's like, hey, do you live alone? Are you exposed to COVID? It's fucking weird.
Because before it was like STD tests, where it's like, you got tested. Oh, when did you get tested? I'm like, a month ago.
Right.
And you're like, well, have you fucked anyone since then? It's like, sure. But only 2 people without a condom. So what we're talking about is, since my test, it's like I fucked 2 people in my life.
Right. Also, you know? AIDS, now we've all gotten to the point, I think, in the gay community, where like, what is AIDS really doing to you? It's like HIV, you can live till 70. It's not, it's chronic now. It's, you don't die from it.
Oh, dude, I just have Mateo on. It's coming out, so I don't care. He goes, dude, with PrEP, I let HIV positive people just blow loads in my ass.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Like,
that I don't do because I get anxious. My anxiety would be tough.
Yeah.
Anxiety would be hard with that. If I knew somebody was HIV positive, but if they were the hottest person in the world, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about how much.
If they were the hottest person.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Leonardo DiCaprio got AIDS and wanted to fuck me, I would say without PrEP, give me AIDS. Let's get married. Let's be Hollywood's it AIDS couple. And what a great end to the Tim Dillon story.
I mean, wouldn't it be great? As long as you can get a footnote somewhere, that's a good way to go out.
I think it's great.
You don't ever want to be the story
guy
of
that Leo
and,
gave
and
AIDS?
Others. Oh, yeah. Come on. Hey, what happened to Tim? Like, wait, have you not heard?
It was great. How was New York? Have you been in New York? Because I can't. Every December, I would spend the majority of it in New York because Christmas in LA like, doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
So, but now everyone, like New York, I guess, is shitty.
I don't know, dude. People keep saying the crime rate's up, and I'm like, up from what? Up from one of the massively safest cities in the world. Like, I don't know. They were like, it's a ghost town. I'm like, well, then why are the fucking bars still full? Why is Tompkins still full of fucking people drinking and partying outdoors? I saw a dude shooting heroin at fucking 12:30 p.m. in Tompkins, like the old days.
Right.
New York's back.
Yeah.
It's cool to see. I've always felt like that. When somebody's like, Coke, you want Coke? Like at 2 a.m. on the way back from the cellar? I'm like, no, but I do enjoy the flavor
that you
bring to this neighborhood.
I do. Now that I've become L.A., I'm like soft. I don't think I could ever live in New York now, because even the things that people talk about give me like, I'm like, oh, I can't do it.
What
the
do you mean,
subway.
Like,
just the subway. Just the idea that it's such the pace and how frenetic it is. And now I've lived in L.A. and I'm like, I'm a suburban basic bitch. I like my outdoor malls. I mean, really. And I was a New Yorker my whole life, but like, I like outdoor malls and SUVs and patio dining. I mean, yeah, I'm
fucked.
You
know what no one's willing to admit is that there's good and bad in both places, but everyone has to full on like, this is
that's
best.
True.
And then you're like, well, what about, I don't know, there's no pizza or something like that. And you're like, there's other. It's like, you can't just be like, yeah, that's bad, but no big deal. But there's no fucking burritos in New York.
Just good and bad.
Did you lose
absolutely.
Weight?
Absolutely. Losing a little. I'm trying.
I mean, I can sort of see it. I don't know if it's because you're
trying.
Sitting down and wearing gray, but like,
L.A. is you try here. That's what I'll say. You try. You can't, like, New York people just look. Even the fat people in L.A. look better than the fat people in New York.
Dude,
New York, you just
Remember Boston Legal, I think, one of those?
Yes.
There was a chubby chick on there. She might have won a Golden Globe for acting.
Cameron Manheim. Like, Cameron Manheim.
Showed up to the Comedy Store once. And she was the ugly, gross, fat chick on TV.
She's
a
big
it's like,
woman.
Wow. Yeah. I was ringing her in. I was working the cover booth at the store. She came in. I'd noticed. I was kind of, and I'm like, oh, you're fucking really attractive in person.
Yes.
Like, even gross people on TV are still, like, better than you can do in Kansas City.
They're telogenic fat. They're telogenic fat. Yeah. So I'm trying. I mean, L.A. is, everything here is you become, like, I live in the suburbs now. I rented a house. You got to go to the store and get something for the house. And then you're like, it's a 2-hour thing. And you're in a patio furniture store. And the amount of, when you start to make a little money, you realize how much money you don't have, because you go into a patio furniture store and you go, oh, this is a good table. And they go, yeah, it's 30 grand. I go, 30 grand. It's not even for inside the house. And they're like, yeah, it's 30 grand. This is what rich people do. They spend $30,000 on a patio table. I'm like, well, good luck. I mean, it's just what it is. It's like, so that's what these rich motherfuckers do. They just walk around all day.
Who you're hanging out with. I was with Rogan once. He was talking about some furniture in general. He's like, you know, you got to buy a couch. That's 10 grand. And me and Redbeam were like, wait, what? And he was like, 10 grand for a couch? We're like, no, you find it on the street and you make sure it's not stained on both sides. What are you talking? 10 grand? Right. You can get fucking Goodwill for 200.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy how much shit costs.
Do you? You're moving up financially. I don't know how you were when you were like a kid. I think like middle class,
lower middle to middle. My parents were out of it, had no idea, but we always had a house and shit. I mean, they were like lower middle. Nobody was like, look at my parents and like rest easy. Like, I was never like sleeping well at night. I'm like, I hope this works.
Yeah, it does suck when you come home with like a t-shirt and it's like 18 bucks and your parents are like, what? No, it's all right.
Right.
You're like, what was,
right.
That's, what was
that's
the
exactly what it was. Right.
It's a t-shirt.
Right.
I love the idea that like, now that I'm an adult, I get the difference in a few dollars in price. We're like, fuck.
Yeah. What? And you also get like, you get the difference between like what value, I think as you get, you don't know anything about value when you're young, and you can't. You can't know anything about value.
You've never earned a fucking cent.
You've never earned a cent, and nothing in your life has withstood the test of time. That's the other thing. Everything's new, and you throw it out. New, throw it out. Friends are new, throw them out. When you're older, you're like, okay, I know value because I've had a certain amount of friends for 10 years. There's value. I've had a business relationships for a certain amount of time. There's value there. I've had this, I've had that. So as you grow older, you look at certain things and you go, oh, this is real value, and not just like, I want to be seen wearing it or I want to be seen driving it. It has actual value.
That's a very white chick thing to do too, or maybe not. Maybe it's Jews too, but it's like, that's cool. How much was it? How much should it have been? It now adds like more value. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder when that happened, when you're like, a bargain is as good as a quality product.
I think it starts to happen when you start to realize that so much of the shit you buy is to make yourself feel a certain way.
Fill a hole.
And once you get over that, you start looking actually at the dollars and cents of things, which I'm not there yet. I'm still buying things to make myself feel better. Yeah. But when I get wiser and smarter, I'll start looking at things and going, oh yeah, this is actually makes sense and this doesn't.
Yeah. I've always felt that way about new cars. I'm like, when they're right. like, if you drive off the lot, it drops, you know, 30%. You're like, well, then why wouldn't you just buy it off the lot?
But I think you should learn that lesson. I think everyone should buy one new car. If you can, you should buy one new car and watch that happen. Watch it depreciate.
Try to sell it immediately and be like,
hate it. Like, just you, because you gotta buy one new thing in your life. Doesn't mean it could be a house, could be a car. Hey, if you're fucked, it might be a bike. I don't know, yeah. But buy one brand new shiny thing in the world to figure out what that is and what. When I was in eighth grade, I bought a Versace shirt. It was a blue. Terry cloth Versace shirt. Now terry cloth clings, and in eighth grade I was newly fat means you're just understanding your fat and where it goes and how it clumps, and so I had this terry cloth shirt that was like clinging to my body, and it was like I thought it was really cool because it said Versace on it. It was really gross and loud.
I'm sure it'll fit fine.
Try it on because I knew it wouldn't fit. Right? I was like, I just gotta fucking wear it. And I went to school with it. I had it, and it was like $100-something, and then I spilled chocolate milk on it, and chocolate milk in terry cloth. It's over. Designer clothes are not meant to get washed. I've never had another designer thing. I have like polo hoodies, but no one cares. But that was my first, the thing that I bought where I'm like, I want everyone to think it's Versace, because it was. I want everyone to see it's Versace. And then I realized it got ruined almost immediately, and it wasn't even what I thought it would be. And I think that's, you got to have that experience with something. It could be a car, a house, a piece of clothing, a piece of electronics. You got to buy, you got to have the feeling of buying a new thing.
Yeah. Dude, I bought a Swatch watch once. Bought it for this chick I liked, and then she ended up going out with Laurent Ben-Simon, so I had no chance. So I went to return
it. She went out with who?
Laurent Ben-Simon. The fucking French, Moroccan. Yeah. He had money, he had looks. Yeah, I had no chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I went to return it. I was with my dad at the Wheaton Plaza, and I was like, I went to return. I was like, hang on, I gotta return this. And they were like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, but you didn't get this here, which I didn't. And I was like, yeah, but you carry Swatch watches. Can I just return? They're all cost exactly the same, $35. Right. Can I just return it here? And they were like, no, we never carry this kind. It was ugly, too. I mean, I had no taste.
Right.
My dad comes up, and he goes, what's the matter? I'm like, they're not taking it back. And he goes, my son said he bought this here. So I was mortified because I'm like, no, I didn't say that. And they're like, sir, he didn't. We've never carried this model here. And he just goes, are you calling my son a liar? And she caved. And I was so mortified then, but now I get like get your money back. Fuck Macy's or whatever the fuck it was.
Fuck him. He was right.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's rubbing off on you a little bit. I was kind of surprised that you were one of the only guys who wasn't like letting it shed the pounds off you when you moved to LA.
Well, I think that I don't know who those people were. Who are the people that moved to LA and got really in shape?
I feel like everybody. Dude, I went to Rage one time. You know, go there, do you?
I don't know what it is.
With my buddy on Gay Mecca, Santa Monica Boulevard, Rage next to Mickey's and like that whole area. Everybody was in shape. And then I was like, what's the deal with gays being in shape this much? They explained it to me once. They were like, we can get whatever we want, so we all try to look our best so that we can.
I think that's true. I think there's a certain type of gay guys love being in shape. They love the body. But there's a ton of gay, like the whole problem with gay culture is that gay culture just never stopped. It hit the wall and it never grew into like, oh, we are regular people. Like there are gay guys that look like me. There are gay guys that are scrawny. There are gay guys in the military. There are gay actors. There are gay NFL players. And nobody knows any of these people. Yeah. And I just don't know if that'll ever happen. But like... Yeah, it's you see that in West Hollywood, everybody's hot, and then you on TV, every gay guy's like, "Stop it! I'm gonna make this room sing," and then you go on a dating app, and you're like, "Oh my god, there's literally every human being represented on this dating app. Where are they?"
It's because TV fucking sucks. Yeah.
T- TV, and they TV use sucks, version yeah. of
that. The same thing with Spike TV, where they're like, it's for right. men. And they're like, I don't know a single man who's ever acted like that. None of us know how to change oil.
None of us do.
Ever
That's
seen
so
a chick
true.
On a trampoline? right. What men? What are you talking about? How about right. getting a beer with your friends at a fucking diner? Yeah. Like what? That, yeah. How about that version of males?
Yeah, no, it's always super hyper. But also with me as an addict, it's tough, right? Because I have addict behaviors that are just imprinted on your brain, and you got to try to keep them at bay. And now that I can't do stand-up, because I was a big addict behavior, I was always doing stand-up. And yeah. now that that's taken away, it's like you're kind of like reaching, like, uh-oh, let me...
Wait, what were you addicted to?
Oh, I mean, when I was younger, everything. Cocaine, marijuana, alcohol, pills.
You're a
yeah.
program guy? Or just like
stuff? I was for a little while. I was an AA guy for a little while. And then I still recognize how cool it was at that part of my life to have that program. I just don't go anymore.
Right. I have this theory that I had this chick who went to AA and then she was a 20 when we dated. And then like right. at like 25, because I was like, I don't think you have a problem. I think you just drink too much. And then at 25 right. or 27, she was like, oh, yeah, I stopped. It was just like I was wild. When I was younger, yeah. I was wild. And then like, you got older and you're like...
I was certainly a real alcoholic, as they call it. I was certainly fucked up. But I got to a point where I was like, I feel like I'm doing good. I don't have to go to a church basement and sit and keep going over it. Like, this is not going to define me forever. But I totally understand why people stay in the program. And I think everything is everything's individual. Like, some people really need that, and good for them.
Yeah. You know Argus Hamilton?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
into him, right?
Of course,
So I asked him about jogging once. He started jogging heavily, and he was a big, big cokehead in the 80s and stuff, but stopped. And then I was like, what's with jogging or something like that? And he goes, well, I started smoking cigarettes when I stopped drinking and blowing, you know? And then when I jogging, it was like one or the other, and I got a better high off jogging. So like, but like, you
cigarettes
gotta do
are
something.
The hardest. I will tell you this. I've been addicted to lots of things.
Yeah.
Cigarettes are the hardest to kick.
You think so?
Well, I'll tell you why. I've gone years, and I mean 5 years, without smoking a cigarette. I've gone a decade without drinking. I've gone a decade without really smoking weed or taking pills or doing whatever, psychedelics, whatever I used to do. Cigarettes are the only thing that still looks good. They still look good.
It's fun. They're casually. Still, it really
it
is
still
fun
looks
casually.
Good. Like a, yeah. like a drink doesn't really look good anymore. I go, yeah, I don't want that. Even people get high around me. I go, yeah, the marijuana culture has moved on so much. I don't even know like what people are eating anymore. I'm like, edibles and vapes and, you know, I'm like CBD, back cream. I'm like, I'm out. But when I see somebody smoking a cigarette, I still go, fuck that. At the end of the day, it's just something about a cigarette that's nice.
It's cool. And Steve McQueen, dude. When I was quitting, I was at the store and you see like four or five people in a circle smoking. And you're like, God damn, I don't want to be in that circle.
Why can't
I just have one a month?
It's something about conversation. Yeah, conversation is great.
Ugh. Anyway. Yeah, it's tough without stand-up, huh? What are you doing? How are you replacing it?
Well, I'm podcasting and I've got a new show coming out on I'm collaborating with some people in the YouTube
the
world in the YouTube space, some YouTubers.
Not on Wii, not on Oprah Winfrey's channel.
No, it's not on Wii. I'm doing Oprah's channel as her in blackface, as fat Oprah. Yeah. It's called Oprah When She Had a Soul, and I go on in blackface. Remember when you had a soul and you used to eat bread? I'm doing some of that stuff.
That's cool.
Podcasting. Yeah, man. I mean, there's not a ton to do.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm
doing as much as I can. I'm trying to write. I was on the road. We were doing great. I was selling shows out, having fun. Cases went up, shut it back down. Back in LA, just kind of podcasting, trying to write. And then we got this new show coming out, which I'm kind of excited about, where like I'm gonna like interview YouTubers and TikTokers, like short form, 10 minutes, because what are you gonna talk to these people about for anything longer than that, really?
Yeah.
But it should be like a little ridiculous and stuff. But that's an idea that's still infancy. It's something to do.
I'm sure you've thought about it, but have you got the guy from All Gas No Brakes?
No.
Oh.
No. No interest.
No interest?
No interest in why? Isn't his job to talk to more interesting people than him?
Point taken. Yeah. He pretty much does this. Like, he'll be here. Let me tell you why I'm mad at him.
I'm not even mad at him. Yeah. He emailed me for, he goes, can I have Alex Jones' phone number? I'm like, no. I'm not his, Alex Jones' manager. What? No. So, dude, I'm not, that man on the street shit, it's never been for me. So,
he does well, but
I'm sure he does. I don't care. But hey, I'm funny. But you know what's funnier? This homeless guy. Let's talk to him. Great. Then let's watch the homeless guy.
The last good man on the street was when Eric Andre went to Comic-Con. After that, it was all exactly the same shit. Anyone who goes to Comic-Con now, it's like, you are such a fucking hack. This has been done. You're not going to add anything. Yes, it dressed up as a fucking character. We've already been through this. It's like those people at NYU who like free hugs. And they're like, oh, I want to give you a free hug. Fuck off. You didn't invent this.
My whole thing is this. There's been some brilliant man on the street stuff done. I haven't seen any of it lately.
Jaywalking.
I don't hate anyone.
Jaywalking is probably number one.
Right. I'm glad people are doing well and people like shit. I'm not saying like, I've never even watched Old Gas Sober. I don't even know what it is. But my whole thing is that genre has never done anything for me.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah, I do like when somebody like just doesn't like. I used to love Jackass, and then I had friends like, just it's mean. I'm like, oh yeah, you're never gonna come around on this then.
Right.
For sure, it's mean.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so dude, here's what I want to talk to you about. Because you're one of the best ones I know about this, of understanding the wealthy and fucking how awful they can be. Yes. And I like what you said, where you're like, well, can we shit on the poor as well? And I'm like, absolutely. Yes. That's totally fair. I guess just jump around. But I mean, I'll try to keep this in some sort of organized fucking situation. But I shouldn't start with this question, but the rich, what's their fucking problem?
Okay, my producer's going to get up a quote right now by F. Scott Fitzgerald, because this is actually the quote that explains everything about wealthy people. F. Scott Fitzgerald, of course, is the writer. He wrote The Great Gatsby,
which is a guy pretending to be rich.
Right, and he immersed himself in the culture of the elite, the wealthy, and he wrote a quote, and it's from The Rich Boy. Get The Great Gatsby quote on The Rich. He's getting it up. And I'm going to read you the quote, and then I'll explain the quote, because this quote really does outline the rich, and it's the most salient coupling of words I've ever seen when it comes to kind of diagnosing and illustrating who the rich are and why they are. And this is the quote. Let me tell you about the very rich. They are different from you and from me. They possess and enjoy early, and it does something to them. Makes them soft where we are hard, and cynical where we are trustful, in a way that, unless you are born rich, is very difficult to understand. Makes them soft where we are hard, and cynical where we are trustful. They possess and enjoy early. Soft where we are hard.
Soft cynical.
Yes. Do you want to take a crack at what soft where we are hard might mean?
I mean, they could never stay in a hostel.
Good. You're getting it. Have you ever been on a public bus?
I have.
Guess who hasn't? Lauren DuPont. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a softness. There's a softness there where they're hard. Also, cynical where we are trusting. Possessing early, enjoying early, makes them very aware of what they have. So when you form social bonds and social relationships, you're very aware that people are interested in you potentially for what you have. It makes them cynical, where we would be trusting and go, I just made a best friend. They would go, hey, I just made a best friend, but I wonder if it's because I have this new train set. There's something there.
Interesting.
And so rich people always believe, and the quote goes on, but that's the best part of it. It goes on to say that rich people believe they're better than you even when they sink lower than you. Even when they're on heroin and they're lower than you, they believe they are better than you.
They do. Okay, here was one of my questions, and I already think I know the answer. Can a rich person ever truly be friends with a poor person? Not acquaintances, but a friend.
No. Gasp.
Yeah. They don't see them as equals.
They don't see them as equals. It because they're there is this unspoken thing that I think exists when you have cross class relationships, right?
Okay.
That the two and by the way, this kind of exists when someone is very famous and someone is not.
Absolutely. Right? Even if they don't have wealth, if they're just famous.
Correct. Yeah. What is unspoken is that there is absolutely no time during that friendship when those people are on equal footing. No time.
Because the famous person is more important.
Correct. Or the rich person is more rich.
Right.
So when you are not on equal footing with someone ever, here's the thing. I'm about to blow your mind.
Okay.
If you're not on equal footing, you're either looking up or looking down. That's right. The case.
Absolutely.
Because you're not eye to eye. So that's the most kind of basic bitch way to explain it. But there is no real, I would say the friendship is very limited that can happen between people that are vastly different levels of wealth. I'm not talking about a guy with a Beamer and a guy with a Bentley. They can be friends. I'm talking about vast different levels of wealth.
Yeah, there's a theory that if someone's 80 IQ points higher or lower than another person, you can't ever fully communicate. And I think that happens also with wealth. I don't know what the 80 IQ points would be, like monetarily.
100%.
But like, you just don't get it. So like people go like, when Seinfeld walked away at the end of his show, I think $2.5 million an episode, or Letterman doing the same thing. And all my friends, my door guy friends at the time, were like, how could you walk away from $2.5 million an episode? And it's like, because he just made him. 2.5 million episode last year times 20.
You'll never get it. Well, it's also there's poverty mentality. Poverty mentality is something, right?
Now,
poverty mentality is what I hate doggy bags. I hate them.
Because of the way it makes you feel like a poor person?
Well, yes, but also it comes from a poverty mentality. It comes from the mentality of like, there's not going to be more macaroni and cheese. There is going to be more macaroni and cheese. You don't need to scrape it into a cup and walk out of fucking Del Frisco's with it. There's going to be more mashed potatoes. There's going to be another steak. It's America. Yeah. All these people that are buying all the food, they're clearing the aisles of food during the pandemic. It's like, no, get a ventilator. There's going to be fucking Tyson's chicken wings. Like, you're going to get it. Food is fake. They make it in fucking big vats of green liquid and fucking it's coming. Don't worry. The trucks are behind, but it's coming. So to me, poverty mentality is like how could you walk away from it's like, dude, because the guy's going to make more money.
Yeah. I loved when I got to the point where I'm like, no, I don't have to take this to go. I'm just going to leave it here.
Right.
Because I'm still going to go get ice cream. We're going to be out. It's going to go bad if I keep this meat out for fucking 4 hours.
There's something when you open a to-go thing. I have friends that come out to the house and they do it all the time. There's something about looking at congealed cheese and dark green guacamole. And they go, no, it's okay. You just got to take the top of the guacamole off. The rest is actually okay. And they have congealed cheese.
Scrape the top of the pasta. Yeah.
Something dies in you and you have to scrape the top of that guacamole off and eat the rest of it. I think there's something wrong. I think eat at the fucking restaurant.
Okay. Do you ever get embarrassed when a poor person...
my mother did take out doggy bags my entire life. She took everything home. She took the bread home. She put the bread from the restaurant.
Home.
She put the bread home. She took the salad
It'll
dressing.
Never
she
be
took
good again. It's the bread. She took the salad
crackers.
Dressing. What do you mean? Like
the salad dressing. She would take, if they bought her a little bowl of salad dressing, she would dump it in a little cup and put it in. It was horrible. And that scarred me. But yeah, what was your question? I'm sorry.
So, so the part of you that grew up lower middle class, probably pretending to be middle class, that's part of you still in there. So do you ever have a poor friend or an open micer or somebody like that who doesn't think twice? He's like, of course I'll take this home with me. And when you're like, no, I'll leave it there. Do you ever get embarrassed about what you've become? I do.
Like embarrassed about what I've become?
Yeah, where I'm like, why am I not taking this home with me? Why am
I
just wasting
this? I'm embarrassed of what they are.
Okay.
You've got it completely mixed up. I'm embarrassed of them. No, I worked my ass off to not have to take it home. They should work harder. Perhaps they should work harder. we get everything backwards in this country. It's amazing. It's amazing how backwards everything is at all times, all the time. It's like, are we
Except
feeling
it?
Here's what I would say. When you go out, eat and eat too much. And then go home and go, I feel sick and I should not have eaten that much. It is so much more dignified than scraping. I don't care how much money you fucking have. By the way, and if you're that poor that you need that macaroni and cheese, you need not be in a restaurant. You need not be in a restaurant. Go. For years, I really couldn't eat out. I'd eat cans of baked beans, hot dogs, fucking shit. Eat it fucking home. If you're out at a restaurant and you're scraping guacamole into a thing, it's, and I'm not trying to sound like fucking being like some Alice. Capitalist pig about it, but it just is weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, that's only my thing. The restaurants love when you the restaurants love to go. Here's why they love it. Because what? They send you home with their bags, and then their bag is in your refrigerator, and it takes up residence, and you keep looking at it every time you open the refrigerator, and your friends look at it. And it's free advertising. Restaurants love it. That's why they started doing much bigger portions, because people started taking to go.
No fucking way.
Yes, I know all about this. Yeah, I know for a fact. They started doing much bigger portions because they loved when people would take doggy bags, and they would give people doggy bags with the names of the restaurant on it, and it's free advertising. Oh, where did you just come from? Oh, where did you go? Oh, you got to go to that place. Yeah, what's that in your refrigerator? Oh, it's so good. So restaurants love it. So no one really looks down on it except me, because I am a Rothschild. I am trans class, meaning I was born into lower middle class, but I identify as a Rothschild, as somebody who has thin fingers that have never seen a hard day of work. I am a member of the King's Court. That is what I identify as. That is who I am in my soul.
Yeah. Do you ever feel, okay, so like I have this theory that comedy club owners, we're all scared of them because we think they're like some sort of like deities, where like they were around, they owned these clubs before we started comedy. Not the Stand when they got into it after us, but like Mitzi or the guy from the Laugh Factory or Esty or all these people. And it's like there's no training to be a comic, right? We all just we guessed the whole time. Yeah. We just did it. So we're like, oh, you can tell I'm a fraud that I didn't go to school for this. So do you ever see somebody who's like dressed well, or if you get on first class and you're sitting next to somebody in a suit, and you're like, oh shit, you're gonna know that I'm not really supposed
to be
here.
Well, no, because the new money is supposed to be grotesque.
Yeah.
In fact, flaunting. I'm supposed to offend you by the fact that I'm not supposed to be here. In fact, all throughout history, all of history has only ever been cycles of money replacing other people. So it's like, if I'm in a nice restaurant and you go, fuck that guy, or if I'm in first class, and I don't fly first class. First class doesn't even exist.
You get bumped up. You've always gotten bumped up here or there.
Yeah, I get bumped up. I think people look at me and know immediately that I'm an entertainer. Immediately.
You have that kind of... I've seen girls in LA where it's like, you're driving Mercedes and you look like you're 23. Like, you didn't earn this.
As soon as they see me and I'm in a bright red sweatsuit and I just look like an entertainer. Yeah. I look like I'm going to say something funny. I'm a little crazy. I'm on a phone with someone and I'm talking manically or loudly. I think people are like, oh, that guy didn't get here because he didn't invent an app.
Yeah, he didn't use his brain in any way, or inherit it from his parents. Yeah,
he didn't inherit it, or he's not the CFO of Goldman Sachs.
I always felt bad when I would go to, like, you ever do the San Jose Improv?
I don't think so.
Well, they put you up at this like nice hotel, and anytime you stay at a nice hotel, the people that work there are dressed in like tie and jacket, and I always feel like they're gonna know. They're going to know I'm not as good as them. And it took me like years to realize, like, they're working for $14 an hour. They're actually, that suits a uniform and not actually what they wear.
It's true. I think class is very interesting because, like, it is something that in Britain, they obsess over it.
Over in class. Because they don't have a race problem like we do. Correct. So they just have a class problem.
All of their shows, like, there's a great show that me and Nick Mullen love called Keeping Up Appearances. And it's about a woman whose name is Mrs. Bucket, and she makes everyone call her Bouquet. And she lives in a small, like, little attached house, roadside house, but she fancies herself as a member of British aristocracy. She's obsessed with this this class distinction that is not really a thing in America as much as it is in the UK. They fixate on it more so there than we do here. We love money here, and we love this, and we love that. But all American money is kind of garish and grotesque and new and vulgar, right? Donald Trump. So there is no, like, in Britain, there's an idea of a class system about the schools that you went to and the people you know, and are you literally connected to the royals in some way? Yeah. And it's a much more of this static system.
Yeah, we don't have a rich accent here. They have
a rich accent.
They have high blood.
Yeah. So if you're highborn, if you are in Britain, so I've always enjoyed a lot of British comedies and a lot of British things because they do focus on class, which to me is very funny because it's ridiculous. Like, money is funny. This is what people don't realize. Like, I went the other day to a leather couch place and I'm just talking and the guy talked about leather for 30 minutes and I looked at my producer and I go, this is what rich people must do. They talk about leather and they talk about V12 engines and they talk about this, that, and the other thing, and they talk about, you know, and it's funny. Now, obviously, it's not funny that people are sick and don't have health care and that the government sucks and people in the third world are getting whatever. None of that's funny. But the actual materialist part of wealth is sort of funny because it's silly.
It's just silly. There's nothing to it. There's no substance. Nothing. They don't talk about philosophy even or like an actual thing or how Tom's doing. It's just like, what are you occupying yourself with?
It's machines and materials. That is what I've learned. It's machines and materials. It is, here are the machines that make the materials. Here are the machines. Here are the materials. A Range Rover is a machine and materials. Here's the leather. Here's the this. Here's the engine. Here's the Star Guard. Here's the Identity Guard lock. Like, it's just machines and materials, and that's what keeps people going.
Yeah. Here's a question. This is for the rich and the poor. I have a completely unresearched theory that poor people have more God than rich people. They're more
Correct.
Into church and shit like that.
Correct.
Do rich people use God to control the poor?
Yes.
I do. I think they do too.
I think rich people use everything to control the poor. Not only God, but country. God, country, sports, music, anything. Anything. And by the way, here's the other thing, and this is what people aren't going to like
sports
when I make
too.
my little somewhat contrarian point.
That's all you do. You love making contrarian points, but go ahead.
It's not.
It's the best.
I'm always right. I'm right, and everyone's wrong, so they call me a contrarian. It's really just being correct. What else are you going to do with the poor? What are you going to do with them? If they can't sing songs and drink wine out of a jug, what are we going to do with them? Day one, have you been on a subway platform and people are doing this like this? That's what they want to do. Let them do it. It's true.
I love when they trot out some fucking veteran at an NFL game. Like, we gave them the house. And everyone's like, we did it.
Here's the deal. Rich people are not happier than poor people. They're actually not. Rich people are more safe and secure, but they're not happier than poor. You'll meet people that are working at Popeyes that are happier than these rich cunts in my neighborhood will be ever. They're just happy because they're laughing and they're high and their dicks and tits work. So what do you want me to do? Like, everyone's put this value system on money, and then everybody's has to then dance around and jump around. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like there are people on this earth that just have no interest in the game. They don't want to play the game of owning and take and buying in. Some of them just want to fuck and have fun and dance and drink. And yeah, they're not going to earn lots of money, and that's okay. But like, yeah, does God control it? Yeah, but whatever it is, it'll control. Like, at the end of the day, it's like people that are really truly driven to make money are going to do it no matter what, and people that won't.
Isn't it interesting when you see somebody like rich and you can tell from like put in a poor person's shoes, like, if I had your money, I'd be happy. And it's like, and you're like, I can see you probably would for at least a while. But then you look at these rich people like, what's your problem? Why aren't you happier?
Yeah. Well, because it's never enough, right? Because they're playing the game, and the game is not, the game doesn't end. It's never enough. If you get this car, you need that car. If you need this house, you need that house. If you need, and it never ends. So when people say like, you know, yes, a lot of the rich are dishonest. They're immoral. They have a different code. Some of them are murderers, rapists, monsters. And some of them are just rich. I mean, it is what it is. Like, and then some of the poor have been genuinely fucked over. Some of them are, I think a lot of them, most of them have been fucked over, have been, you know, destroyed by bad policies and bad government and bad fucking, and rich people being selfish. But then there are poor people that just go, I don't fucking want anything, and I'm cool. Like, I'm good. Like, that's the other thing that, like, we're supposed to believe that they don't exist.
Yeah, I didn't know what success was for a long time. And then I saw my parents when they started having grandkids. And like, their whole world was just living for their grandkids. And I'm like, oh, maybe success is not just about how much money you made. Maybe it's about other shit, too. And then I'm like, they're just so happy when their grandkids are around. And it's like,
of course,
that's their version of success. They are successful.
Of course. You know? Like, I'm in a house now that I've rented that I like. I wouldn't buy
it.
It
looks cool.
Yeah, it's a cool house. And I say to myself, I'm like, how much more space do I need? How much am I supposed to buy a house that's bigger and then eventually bigger?
For what? Now I got to get a pool table?
Right. So that's the whole thing. You start to get to a point where you go, what do you really need? I just got a Range Rover, beautiful car. It's great. It's a great, you know.
Yeah, but it's nice, for sure.
And it's a nice car. I'm a big guy. I need a big car, right? Why do I need a Lamborghini truck? What's the difference? Well, that one can go 200 miles an hour. But why?
Rogan was always trying to get me to get a car when I was in New York. He's like, you got to get a real nice car. I'm like, do you know what a burden a car is in Manhattan?
Right. In New York, it's crazy,
Do you know how much worse it would make my life if you gave me a Lamborghini?
Right, yeah. So it's like, I think that sometimes, like, eventually you got to just stop and you got to go like, okay, if I don't stop, it'll never stop.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question. Poor people.
Yes.
What are they scared of? Because the obvious answer is violent revolution, and they can't get it together to do it. What are they fucking scared of?
Well, poor people hate each other. Just like rich people. Everyone hates each other. So that's the basis. That's the base problem, right? A lot of that's racial and religious and whatever. We're tribal people, right? But rich people hate each other unless they're being, you know, it was explained to me a very funny way. They said rich people will sue each other and try to best each other until there's a threat from outside their class, and then they unite together
they
and vanquish
up.
It.
Yeah.
Poor people don't do that. They don't do that.
They fight all the way down to the end.
Yeah, they're not good at that.
Do you ever watch Lord of the Rings?
Of course.
So you know when Gandalf is like, you shall not pass, and the guy, I forget what the name of the monster is, and they're like falling off this cliff and they're punching each other all the way down. I feel like that's what poor people are doing. Like, as they're failing, they're still fighting
with
each other.
You know what it is, too? Sadly, we live in a country where rich people have rigged a system, and that system, unfortunately, really rewards money that is earned in investment. It does not reward swinging a hammer. It doesn't reward physical work. It doesn't reward physical labor. It doesn't reward the kind of labor that is essential if you're putting somebody in an ambulance or if you're putting out a fire at somebody's home. It doesn't really reward any of that. It rewards the type of money that's made by compounding interest and things like that. These are all, you know, things that unfortunately make our society deeply sick and unsustainable, because the levels of inequality are gross, and they concentrate political power in the hands of a very small group of people who then fuck kids on islands, blackmail each other, kill each other, murder journalists, invade foreign countries, take their oil, take their resources, steal from each other, and they all are united by the fact that they will do anything. They have this blood oath that they will. It's somebody explained it to me. They said it's like being on a big yacht. You can have anything you want on the yacht, but if you try to get off the yacht or bring anyone else on the yacht, you're going to get killed. And that's what it becomes. It's this deeply, so I don't know that it's capitalism or that it's this or that it's that. It's just a deeply unfair criminal class that has really taken the reins of government. Really 5 to 10% of them are effectively doing these things. The rest of them are just sitting back and eating fucking kale salads. They have no idea what's going on. But the operators, the real people that are doing this stuff and that are propagating these policies and these people, it's truly the folly of civilization is that these people under any system, communist or capitalist, seem to take the reins. Sociopaths do very, very well. It all goes back to that George Carlin thing. Sociopaths think very highly of themselves. Like, those are the people that end up in power positions. The guy, your best teacher, your fourth grade teacher, your guidance counselor, is never the CEO of a company, and it's never a senator. And so that's why our society looks the way it does.
Yeah, I read somewhere where it's like, the laws are made by the wealthy. You know, they're the most right. educated. And they're like, let's make these laws. But it's like, anytime I make a rule, it's like, I'm going to keep in mind the shit that affects me. So it's like, if I was making the rules about what businesses have to open or close, I'd be like, yeah, but comedy clubs are okay. I would look out for my own. And so it's like, they've always made the law. So of course they're going to look out for themselves. It's just like, there's no way around it.
Part of it, I think, too, is that when you look at, there's a great disparity between people that have a lot of money and people who don't. But even considering that great disparity, there's a lot of people that are in the middle that are struggling and shifting and trying to hold on. Yeah. And those are the people that are failed most dramatically by government policies, by taxes, by regulations, by allowing rich people to kind of pillage and everything like that. Those people are failed very dramatically by government policies in relation to their lives.
What do you mean? Give me an example.
Starting a business in New York City, good luck. Starting a business in California, good luck. Trying to run and operate a profitable enterprise in either one of those two states is damn near impossible because you are choked to death by taxes and regulations on every end of it, right? That is a huge problem.
You can shut down
any
restaurant by taking a white glove and just running it everywhere. You can be like, yeah,
you're shut down anything. They're doing it right now. They're saying you can't dine outside. They're putting people's livelihoods out of business and then not giving them any money or anything. The government created the mortgage crisis. You know, they came in and they said, lend money to people that can't pay it back, that have been traditionally excluded. And what did Wall Street do? They're like, great, let's do it. We'll lend money. And then, so the private sector we know is in, and I'm not defending the private sector here. We know that they're scumbags. We know that the market markets are not moral places. It's just human nature. The job of any effective government policy should be to promote the general welfare and the livelihood of human beings. And when you over-regulate people and you regulate them out of the market and you let a cartel of four or five major corporate conglomerates control every single industry, I mean every single one. Look at tech. Look at finance. Look at everything. There is no... If you are in tech, you're doing business with Google, YouTube, Amazon, Facebook. You have to. You know. So when you look at the way things are, people in the middle, people that are not so destitute or so rich that the policies are directed at them to a degree, but people that are shifting and holding on, people that are trying to drag themselves out of the lower class into the middle class, people are trying to go to college, trying to get degrees, loans are out of fucking control, the amount of money you have to spend to educate yourself, the amount of money, you need money that you need $50 to open a bank account, to have a bank account, to get a job. If you... And I was in that position fucking 5 years ago, not that long ago, where I didn't have any fucking money. And I didn't have a bank account. I would go to check cashing places, pay my rent cash. I went to go get a job. They're like, we do direct deposit. You need a bank account. I walked into the bank. They're like, you need to open this account with $50. I'm like, $50, not five. They're like, you need to open it with $50 fucking bucks.
Or they'll bill you. Yeah. If you don't have enough.
Like, again, it's just very tough to pull yourself out. You need credit. If you need credit, they will run your credit.
Or credit card companies that only exist because they know you're going to pay a bunch of interest. Because you won't be able to pay back every month. They only work on the middle to lower middle class who's not responsible.
So those are the people I think, because I was one of those people for 10 years. And I mean, I'm still a middle class person. I'm not a rich person at all, but I'm doing very well now comparative to where I was. But I remember a decade of having no credit and living hand to mouth and having cash. And it's very tough to get yourself out of that position. It's not easy.
Yeah. By the way, side note, Tim.
Yes.
Maybe I'll cut this because it's too earnest, but we are all very proud of you, man. You've done a great job for yourself. I'm not kidding.
Is it the weight loss? Well, I just started last week.
I don't think you'll live past 50. But I remember talking to you before you got new faces, and it was like, I could sort of see it coming, and it's like you've done it, and you haven't, like, sold out on your way up.
Well, so I appreciate it. Well, that's very sweet. Now, all of you guys, you putting me on, I still have people say the death of a salesman podcast that I did with you was one of their favorites.
Oh, that's great.
It was one of the big ones that I did in the beginning. You were one of the guys in the very beginning that had my back. You showed what I wrote about Louis to Joe Rogan and got me on that show.
Yeah, he was like, who is that? I'm like, this Tim Dillon is funny.
I don't care what you say about dead people. And when I die in 3 months, you roast the shit out of me on Twitter. You faggot, you better do it. You say whatever you want. You do it, and Candace Owens will let you. But I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah. Okay, back to the poor. Why aren't they pulling their own weight? They're so replaceable.
Here's the critique of the poor, because I will say that we've covered how fucked they get. Everyone knows how fucked they get. Sure. Here's the critique of the poor. And it's the critique of everybody. And so don't read too much into this, but anyway, comfort is destructive. And there are people that... comfort can kill and comfort can destroy you. I have met poor people in New York where I've said to them, why don't you get the fuck out of here? And they go, I like the Yankees. Literally. They'll tell me that they like the Yankees. And I said, do you realize you can live another place? You don't have to live here. And they go, no, I like the Yankees.
I mean, is it stupidity or is it just like, you can't even, what I like about COVID is people are for the first time going, wait, if I can't go out, why do I live in New York? And then they go, why do we live in New York at all? I see people finally start to put that together. LA is the same thing. Like my friend Pete was like, I like the nature. Why do I live in LA? Why don't I live where a doc is?
Yeah.
And so it's like that kind of shit. I like the, you know, you go to one game every 2 years.
Yeah.
You can get the Yes Network in fucking Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so that's the thing. I think sometimes if there's a criticism to be leveled at anybody, it has to be leveled at the idea that, like, I think you should see yourself as very, if possible, nimble. Don't have kids. Stop that.
Don't have kids.
Don't have
kids. Don't buy. Don't buy.
Don't have kids. Don't buy. See yourself, and you're a great example of it, as like light footprint. Like, go different places. So I'll talk to people that are like, I am fucked. And I'm like, and you have how many kids? And you're living where and why? Like, so it's just decisions are crazy.
Yeah, dude, I'm doing okay. And I had a studio and an apartment, and I'm like, cut. I'm going to South America and living for like a third of just my one rent.
Yeah, and are you going to come back when COVID is over?
Yeah, in 2026 when it's finally.
The plan is
March, April, May, depending on how it goes.
What is going to happen to the Comedy Store, do you think? Because they've lost a lot of big people. They've lost Rogan, Segura, D'Elia, Joey, Tony. What do you think? What's your view?
This is not new. Every scene, San Francisco, L.A., has gone through these before. Rogan left the Comedy Store 10, 12 years ago. Comedy Store survived. Santino, Fahim, you, whoever else will just
Whitney
fill
Burr.
That vacuum. It always has. People book big sitcoms. Mork stopped coming to the Comedy Store. You know, Sam Kinison died. It didn't the Comedy Store is dead now. Someone else becomes the star. And then those guys get too big for stand-up. Stand-up's the lowest level in the entertainment industry.
Right.
Now it's a little bigger, and that's why we're kind of sellouts. But it'll be fine. It doesn't mean that Austin might not become a cool scene, but LA will still be one of the top stand-up comedy scenes
in the fucking world. That's why I'm staying here, because I just want to stay here. And it's like, I got to stay here for now.
Why not?
You
can always move, and you can always move back. And it's like,
always move back. And I was liking really like when I'd be in LA and I would get to go to New York. If I was bored on a Wednesday, I'd go, hey, I'm going to go to New York, do some shows, see Ari, see Norman. And unfortunately now it's like, I can't do that, but hopefully that'll come back when I can do that.
Yeah. 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 I mean, the vaccine, it seems like late summer, I see everything getting kind of pretty much back
coming
to normal.
Regardless
of who doesn't take the vaccine, still enough people will be like, yeah, I'm fine.
Right.
What do you see it as? You're not new to LA, but you're not old either.
I think it'll have some, there's going to be some growing pains, because that's clearly what'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
I do think people are going to be funny, and we're all going to, you know, we're all going to really work hard when we have the ability to work hard and go back. What I love about LA is that I could collaborate with people here that are YouTubers, that are TikTokers, that are comedians, that are whoever. Like, none of it matters. Like, I could do Logan Paul's podcast. He's a boxer now. But it's like, I can do it because I'm funny. And it's like, who cares? Like, New York, everyone's like, I am a stand-up comedian and I will only talk. And it's like, I understand the brilliance of that, the purity of it. There's something about L.A. that's kind of like, hey, man, let's just collab. Like, you're a fucking idiot and I'm an idiot, and let's do something funny.
There is. So I moved there after college, and my girlfriend came to join me like 6 months later when she graduated. And she told a professor that we both had, she goes, yeah, I'm going to LA. She kind of rolled her eyes. And he was like, why are you rolling your eyes? She goes, you know, LA. And he goes, no. You're comparing it to New York. But like, compare it to most cities in the world. LA is a vibrant scene full of people doing things. Kevin Christie, you know Kevin?
Yes.
He's a comic there. He restarted the literary short story where he found a bunch of artists and a bunch of writers. John Hughes is one of them. And then he got John Hughes' son to like draw a picture to go along with that. And he's like, people are doing things there, like creatively doing things. It's fucking vibrant. Don't move to Tucson, but absolutely LA is a great fucking choice. So is London.
It's
so
a good balance.
Toronto,
that's why I really spent a lot of time in New York because I wanted to get both. Like, I was like, I still love the soulfulness in New York, but then you come out to LA and you're like, there's something about the no soulfulness of LA that has a value too.
I mean, the Saddle Ranch, it's like me and Doug used to go there just to stare at people.
Yeah.
You're like, what is this place? Where is there no soul here?
It's like, silly. It's silly. I mean, now it's paparazzi jumping through the shrubs at the Saddle Ranch to get pictures of 16-year-old TikTokers. It's silly, but there's something funny about it. It's a very funny city.
Dude, I don't see anywhere else people walking down the street in LA. I saw near Bert's house once on their phone, like filming themselves on their phone. And I'm like, they might have a million or two million followers.
Never know.
They
That's
might
a
have
show.
40. It doesn't matter, but it's like they're so self-absorbed in a way that you just can't be like you can't have germophobia on the docks.
Well, you know what it is, man? I mean, the other day I was going over an underpass and I saw like tents, you know, because you just see tents that are, there's a huge problem in LA, you know,
town.
And I stopped and I got out because it was the offices of Comedy Central. But I just wish everyone well. I just wish them well. Am I allowed to wish people?
I mean, you can have fun. I mean, I took Andrew Schultz's thing when he was like dancing. Did you see that video where he's like dancing after Comedy Central? Like everybody got fired. He goes, you know, they never booked me. I don't want to take pride in their fun.
Yeah.
And then just start dancing. But
that's
like
so
people
funny.
Ask me because I've had my problems with them. Like, are you happy they're like kind of half folding? I'm like, no, it was a great platform for comics. I just wish it would have run better.
Nobody wants them to fold, but the reality is there's only so many bad decisions you can make.
Yeah.
That's really the reality, right?
It was like when Patrice O'Neill had his heart attack before he died in that like 2 or 3 week period. I was in House of Comedy.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's one in Edmonton. I was at the one in Edmonton. Rick Brunson's not a comedy. Yeah, it was Edmonton. And Tammy was like, can you believe it? Like, Patrice, I'm like, no. And then I was like, wait, yes. An angry, fat black man. Absolutely. Yeah. I can believe heart disease would run in that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those things where sometimes a lot of this is predictable.
What is there anything worse than high-born women? Is there anyone who can relate to a struggle any less?
Especially when they try to become artists, right? I mean, that's the really bad. There's nothing worse than watching a rich person fail at being a clown. It's very, very sad. So when wealthy dilettantes are my least favorite kind of people. Those are high-born, wealthy people that pretend to be artists or that they can't be artists, so they want to hang around the sphere of influence of artists. So they're called dilettantes. You could go to the Soho House. There they are. Go to places like that. They're sitting around. So those are the, like people, rich cons that are rich cons. I got no problem with you. Rich cons that pretend to know things about the arts, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, Soho House. I didn't even think about that because I've been to the one in London, and Big J joined up for the one. He just took away his membership for the one in the East Village or Soho.
Yeah, he was in. He was a member of that for a while.
Where I'm like, don't they exist to keep a guy that looks like Big J out of a place like
right?
If well, I now they paid all look for this,
by the way,
house,
every waitress
there.
There looks like Big J now. I mean, that's the style. Every woman looks like Big J. Big J will be on the cover of Vogue with a pussy in 2 years.
His career. Will
I may
take
be
off.
A model. I may die a model. I may have started a comedian. I may die a model. How fuck society is. I may die with my fat ass on the cover of Vogue, unironically, because that's where things are going.
Have you been to Soho House? Any of them?
Oh, yeah. Well, Michelle, who's our friend, you know, Crazy Michelle.
Yeah, Crazy Michelle, sure.
I mean, we used to go all the time with her and eat dinner there. And you know, food's okay. It's not great.
Food's and they fine. Got the they people got watching.
And I never
tour.
Saw, I didn't see one famous person ever. And I've been like 40 times. I've never seen one famous person.
It's weird. It was like the Friars Club in L.A. where people right. are like, oh, this is where Milton Berle hangs out. And you're like, no, they don't. This is where they right. used
yeah, no
to.
One cares.
And
everyone,
they're just still selling the idea of it
yeah, it's
being,
just the idea.
That place
absolutely
is so fucking
idea.
Weird and so expensive. And I got taken there by my cousin, who's not at all an entertainer.
Right.
Yeah, it's agents. Imagine, me and Moshe saw New Faces once. We were walking through the lobby of the Hyatt and in Montreal.
Yeah.
We saw some young black New Face, and he had these three older yeah. Jews, just like it just looked like vampires trying to milk his creativity and his youth away from him.
Yeah, and that young black man's name was Jessica Kirsten.
I believe the poor can exist without the rich, as many failing
sure.
countries, places like Yemen. Can the rich exist without the poor?
When they have robots, yes.
Oh, yeah.
They and that's workers. When they'll kill all of us. By the way, that's when COVID-20 drops. When they have enough robots, then they let the real one out.
Oh.
Because what are they going to do? What are they going to do when you've got robots and and you're living in Elysium? You're going to need a small class of people to run some things. But there's way too many people on this planet. That's when they... Well, why are they all trying to terraform? They're all trying to get off the planet. They're all trying to go somewhere else.
To a rich person planet. Yeah. To go away.
Oh, yeah. No, this will not work. This is unsustainable. There is no way that this works. There are millions and billions and trillions of people, and there are no jobs. And there are robots coming that will do the jobs better, and the robots don't have COVID. And the robots, I mean, just it is what it is. Like, you're not, it ain't, we're not getting out of this alive. Nobody's getting out of this alive here.
Yeah, do you see that? What was that Korean movie? I think it won an award. That like,
I don't know. Oh, Parasite.
Parasite, yeah. And then at some point the rich kid was like, you smell like him. Like they can there's a poor smell. Rich people yes. don't want to have that smell around them.
No, there's just also nothing for the poor to do on that planet or in that, you know, that geographic location wherever they decide. I mean, listen, there's a famous article where a guy goes, there's this futurist who wrote a novel about, you know, predicting trends that were gonna come in the future, and a bunch of hedge fund guys brought him to a conference, you know, under the guise that he was going to give a talk, and he gave a talk, right, about his book, and yeah. then they brought him in the back room with seven big hedge fund guys, private equity guys, and he thought they were going to ask him more about his book, and they started rattling off questions. They said, listen, how do I keep my staff loyal to me after the money supplies collapse? And he goes, what? And they go, and they said to him, what areas of the earth are going to be best for building a compound that aren't going to be affected by climate change? And he goes, what? So
they're not looking to change it. They're just looking to like survive it.
So literally these people are asking these questions already. It's not, I mean, why do you think all these people are buying property in Montana with their own water aquifers? It's because they know that things are going to happen. I mean, the riots are just a small drop in the bucket of what is to come, you know, going forward. The system is breaking. It's buckling right now. In a few years, they may not be able to, it might not hold together at all. I mean, you might see massive defections, cops walk off the force, you know, real, you know, sectarian street warfare. I mean, it could be real bad.
Damn, I mean, it's possible. I saw this, it might have been an Atlantic article about the lack of groceries in late March, you know, early April. And they were like, that was Whole Foods. That was the nice places. Go to Key Foods. Everything was still fine. Toilet paper was out everywhere. But like, because the poor people were like, yeah, I'll just take what I need. And the rich people were like, they're all coming for us. We got to, you know, lock everything and get as much as we can. Fuck everybody else. Let me buy 20 hand sanitizer things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it is, man. I mean, that's truly what it is. You know, like, truly what it is the idea that...
I think they think the poor have no value. And so
well,
it's like,
I think they're saying to themselves, what is going to happen? How's it all going to go down? You know? How's it all going to go down? And the unfortunately, it is going to go down. And we're hoping to God that people, you know, figure out how to live together on this planet.
There's no fucking way.
No way.
Especially with the algorithms and with social media turning each other against each other.
Yeah, I
know.
There's
just no way. I mean, do you ever see the movie where the hero's running and somebody falls behind him and he stops and it picks them up?
Yes.
But what world is that?
This is not the world we live in.
Just keep going. Remember early Lost when the Asian guy was like, we're stick to ourselves.
I'll tell you that. It's not the world that we live in. But I mean, you know, you can hope.
I guess. Good luck with that.
Good luck.
Yeah.
That's how I end everything I do now. I just go, good luck.
Good luck with your plans. You know? Yeah. I do like when rich people also pretend to live like poor people. I just saw this thing about Marie Antoinette, how back then they used to have poor tourism. So they would go to a country house where all their, and this is nothing new, this is a long time ago, where all their servants gave them the experience of living poor. And the servants would go in the morning, get the eggs, wash them all off, and then put them back because the rich didn't want to touch eggs with poop on them.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they would do all this thing. They had fresh bread baking all the time. Not to eat, but just they liked the smell of fresh bread. They felt like, well, look at us living like fucking peasants.
Interesting.
They must have bread around, and it's just been going on. I like the poor tourism where, like, you'll go to Cabo or you'll go to a place, you'll stay in a resort or, you know, and just like, this is how they live out here. And it's like, there's nothing like that. You've never even said hi to anybody. You've never made friends. You make friends while you're there.
I did a thing on my podcast where I'm like, eventually they'll just close down. They'll make resorts out of prisons. And then like white women will go drink Chardonnay and stay in like the gas chamber and the electric chair. And I mean, that's going to happen.
That will happen.
Like prison tourism. Oh yeah, it's definitely going to happen. I mean, they already kind of have it. Like people go stay, they go to the Rock, they stay Alcatraz. They don't stay there. But I mean, you know, in a few years, you'll just have women staying there, and you know why not?
It'll be like, oh, look at us. But you'll have to like really soup it up. It'll be great air conditioning and like,
oh no, it'll be a 5-star.
Yeah. It makes, why do people get so angry at the rich?
Well,
what is that?
There's a few reasons. I think number one, they're rich. Number
two, it's unfair. Why do you have it? I don't. That kind of attitude.
That's part of it. I think number two, there's this idea that it isn't fair. There's not a level playing field. I think especially now with how fucked things are, that people are looking at society and going, this is not the way the society should be structured. And they're looking at, you know, they're looking at, like, we hate these politicians. Who funds them? The rich. Who we hate these policies. Well, who's responsible for them? The rich. So all of the reasons that people are upset with society, a lot of it is because, you know, wealthy people have designed the society to a degree that a lot of people are uncomfortable with.
Yeah. It does just seem unfair. I just feel like at some point they're going to march up the hills with pitchforks and they're going to take care of business. Pol Pot, all these people.
I mean,
people,
can
Mao.
They march up the hill? You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, how high is the hill?
Yeah, who are you texting? Yeah. You trying to get laid?
It's like, that's the whole thing. It's like, how high is the hill? You know, I mean, that's the thing. I think a lot of people are just like, fuck it. I want to go eat and fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. It did seem like the steerage class in the Titanic, remember when they're all upstairs like dancing the ball, and then downstairs where Leo is, everyone's legit partying. I don't know, there's something nice to it, but then you'll never get a rich person say, I'm giving away my money, I'd rather live like that.
Right. Never.
I talked to Bert once about it during the virus, whatever, and I was like, don't you ever, like, now that you have money, don't you ever like look back at like when you and your frat friends, like, it was like, oh, who's got like 75 cents? Give me a dollar. Give me 80 cents, whatever. Let's all chime in, pitch in, and we'll get like a 24 pack of beer and just like party on a porch. Do you ever just miss those? And he's like, yeah, those are way better parties than fucking linens on a table.
Of course.
You know? But like, no one's actually willing to do it.
No, you grow up because it looks weird if you're doing it when you don't have to.
Yeah, you're faking it. You ever hear Pulp's Common People?
No.
Oh, it's about this girl who wants to live like poor people. And then this singer from Pulp, I mean, it's her most famous song. Shatner did a cover of it that was fucking great. And he was like, you want to live like us? You want to have cockroaches on your fucking wall? Or get the fuck. Right. Anytime you want, you can call your daddy. He would take you out of here.
Yeah, fuck you.
Who are you texting?
I agree. I think you just got to be who you are and try to get somewhere else, you know? But, like, at the end of the day, you can't spend your entire life pretending.
What? To be someone...
That you're not. I mean, yeah. If you're rich and you're trying to be poor, or if you're a poor person, or you're a middle class person who's pretending to be rich, I mean, something's got to give.
Yeah. I guess last question. What's the worst thing about each one of them? If you had to pick a detail of the rich that you're like, fuck that, or the poor. Forget the middle.
The poor. There's a lot of, like, singing and impromptu dancing and singing and, like, jubilation for nothing. And the rich, I would say the worst thing would be, you know, ritualistic human sacrifice and the defiling of the innocent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is tough. They have soft hands, too.
You know?
I love how that much they fucking protect their own. And not love. I mean, love in a hateful way. It's
sure.
Just like the prince was on that fucking island, and they're just like, we don't really talk about it.
Oh, yeah. They don't care.
How much of that shit do you think happens on the super wealthy? Straight up, like, sex trafficking, underage, your slaves.
A ton of it, dude. And why not? I mean, I'm not saying why not morally. It's horrible. But, like, what would constrict these people? What would stop these people from just doing the worst things? What would stop them?
Remember when Joffrey realized he could do whatever he wanted, and so he just, murdered a hooker with a crossbow?
At least you didn't buy a comedy club.
I'm trying to tell you you're not good enough. I still can't get into Eastville.
I want the rich murdering hookers. I really don't want them telling me that I should get to the punchline.
That's also something as someone who pretends to be that. It was like, I'm an expert on comedy. Like, fuck off. Your dad gave you enough money for a club. You're just a business owner. You're not a fucking...
Yeah. It's crazy. But all right, man. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate
you're welcome.
It.
When's the show coming out?
Well, we hope in a few weeks. We're just trying. It's on YouTube, but it's a really, like, you know, it's in the early stages of coming out, but I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think it's like me just interviewing these crazy, wacky kids that run LA, like the Jake Pauls of the world, and I just want to get in their heads and see what the fuck's in there or what's going on.
I want to know what it's like. You know when they live together, like, they're all like millionaires, and they decide to live with four other dudes. And I'm like, so you have roommates? And it's like
they like it because they're what kids. Makes them succeed. It's college, and they all collaborate and they cross promote. Yeah.
And do they all live in that house? They legit live in that house.
Some of them do. Yeah, a lot of them live in that house. There's content houses are a big thing in LA. Yeah.
Wow. What are you gonna call it?
We don't know yet. The name's always the hardest part.
Yeah, it is. Because you get stuck forever. The cool thing about YouTube is you have no execs saying, like, it has to be this way. You're like, you'll find it.
We can do whatever we want. We don't know what it is.
Yeah. That's great,
dude. We don't know. All right. Well, thank you, my friend. And I hope to see you when things fucking... I hope to see you when fucking the world is a world.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully half of them die out. Half of all of us die out. And then it's like, we'll get more parking.
I agree. I hope so, too. All right, brother. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Love
thanks,
you.
Buddy.
Talk to you later.
Love you, too. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Great episode. Joe, what'd you think of it?
I thought it was hilarious. I mean, Tim Dillon is the funniest guy in the world.
I actually love his... I didn't mention this on there. When he takes a desk... This sounds sarcastic. I can already tell it sounds sarcastic in my voice. You ever sound sarcastic and you don't mean to be?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. So I wasn't going for sarcastic, but he takes like a real office desk and goes down to where all those influencers are hanging out, taking pictures with angel wings behind them. And he puts like a legit desk out there and just starts mocking them like he's doing a desk piece.
That's funny.
Yeah. It really is. And they're just like, get the fuck out of here. Just like hot chicks. He's like, I'm not interested in you for two reasons.
He's super rich.
He's doing great now. That's what we talked about too, where he was like not doing great, you know, just like lower middle class upbringing. And then quite suddenly in the last few years is making plenty of cash.
Yeah.
By the way, it's great to be live on stereo today. We're podcasting directly to the people. Leave a message right there, and Joe and I are going to take messages in a couple minutes, and that's it. So here's one. So people, it's like in Hollywood, they always say like we need more women, we need more blacks. I think that's what they're called now. We need more whatever. For agents and managers, here's why they're so predominantly white. Because I think it's gotten better now. In the old days, you used to have to work for $450 or $500 a week, no overtime, even though they asked you to do a massive amount of overtime. And you had to get by on that in LA on $500 a week. And the only way you could do that financially is if you had someone funneling you cash.
Right.
And so what kind of person has someone funneling them cash? Either a fucking sugar mama or whatever, someone with a sugar daddy, or Jews. You know, where they're like, follow your dream, son. We'll send you an extra $600 a week.
That's a good point. Same with sketch comedy. We always, Sarah and I always talk about
people that are in sketch comedy.
They all come from money. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, who can afford to go be silly for and pay for it for 3 years?
Exactly. Those people.
You know? That ain't
white.
What? Dude, what I'm at right now. By the way, we're live on Stereo. Thank you, Stereo, for sponsoring this. Leave a message soon, and Joe and I will get to it in a second. Thank you, the Stereo app. Everywhere we pass some white people, because there's so few, we just go, there's some whats. It's so funny to point them out.
I told you, when I was hiking in Peru, there was a kid in a tree, and he started yelling gringo at us. I was like, whoa. Yeah, it was like quite an experience. It was fun. He was like, gringo, gringo, gringo.
Wow. They did that once to me in East Timor. It was like they'd yell, wow, what was the word? Fucking.
Timor and Flanagan? The furniture place?
Kind of like that, except a new country that broke off from Indonesia. So, but a lot like what you said, Timor and Flanagan. I forget what they called it. Hold on, I got to look it up. White in East Timor. It's like it's never gonna get this. What do you think the odds are? White in East Timor. Nope. It's a derogatory word. And they would just scream it at you. Kids would do that.
That's fun. We gotta bring that back to this country.
Yeah, but they weren't doing it like ironically or rude. They would just be like, white! It's a white! Yeah. Yeah, maybe if we went to the ghetto, things would be more like that. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we're live coast to coast on stereo. Okay, so Joe. Oh, by the way, here's a question. Now that you have a little bit of cash, do you feel embarrassed in front of your friends who have none? Guilty, maybe. Or you don't care at all?
Certainly not embarrassed. I try to help them out. I always buy if we're going somewhere or doing something. And I'm certainly quite understanding because that's how I live my life for so long. And my family is still living a life like that. So certainly not embarrassed. I feel happy about it. I wish I could help more people than I can. I do my best for those guys, but I'm certainly not embarrassed or ashamed of it.
I was in Colombia last year in Spanish school, and we were all talking about what we did with our dogs. And I was like, yeah, it's with my boyfriend's family. And then someone else was like, hey, my sister's taking care of it. And this one guy was like, it's in a dog spa. And the teacher, a Venezuelan refugee, was like, we're speaking in Spanish, you know? And she's like, no, I don't think you use the right word there. And he was like, no, I did. And she goes, no, no, no. I think what you said by accident was dog spa. I think you're looking for another word. And he was like, no, no, that's the word.
That's hilarious.
She's at a dog spa for 2 weeks. And the teacher just couldn't wrap her head around. And you just see how embarrassed he suddenly was of like, oh, shit, I'm spending money in a way that I really should hide. To you. That's not to a normal American, but to that person.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I mean, for the record, like, again, we keep making it seem like I'm, like, making six figures over
fine.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I don't have a dog or a dog spa. So,
that's right. You don't have a dog.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, all right. This is Ari Shaffir, and you're listening to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank live on Stereo. Welcome to the Stereo Show, which is live. Wait, there was something else I could say. Oh, yeah, that's what I mean by embarrassed or lip. What I do is I try not to. Sometimes I get upset if I. So, like, at the Comedy Store, it was all a question of, like, do you get spots? And then, like, what spots do you get? And you had to be aware of who you. Because everyone complains, you know? Everybody, except if you feel like Whitney or Rogan or someone like that. Like, you're not getting the spots you want. And so you have to be aware of who you're complaining to, you know? Like, I only got 11:15, then you realize, like, oh, I'm talking to somebody who gets a 12:45 once a week, and that's it. That's what I mean by, like, you know, being embarrassed about, like, yeah, your problems, like, how much your garage costs.
I definitely try to be aware of that because that drove me crazy sometimes when I was poor. There would be comics,
yeah.
Or more not so much money, but complaining about their status in the industry or whatever, when you're like, but I'm opening for you. Like, I would work with someone that was like, it's fucking embarrassing. I'm working at the Funny Bone in Omaha. I should be doing this. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm opening. Yeah. Like, this is wildly insulting because anything you say about yourself, it's 10 times worse for me.
Am I opening for a failure?
And I also want to add this. Yeah. I was doing comedy the same amount of time as that person. It's different if you're 20 years in and your opener is 4 years in. And you're like, I can't believe I'm still here. And they're like, I'd kill to be there. And you're like, yeah, but I've been doing it 20. You've been doing 4. This was a situation where I actually started before the guy.
Are you talking about when you opened for me at that casino in Connecticut?
Yeah, this story's about you.
Dude, you're so lucky you were never an LA comic because all stories are about them. It's so crazy. They can't even just leave anything. They don't have to be like, that reminds me of the time I did something not even as cool that I'm just going to add right now.
Right. LA stinks.
It really, really does stink. We're live on Stereo, by the way, everybody. Get the Stereo app and you can leave a message for me and Joe. Well, you could have left a message for me and Joe, unless you're on there right now. Leave a message, and we're about to play them. What else? What else is there, Joe? I know something that Tim said about having wealth versus not having wealth. Fuck. He said something really insightful, but I forgot what the fuck it was. There's no way you're gonna be able to help me remember this because you weren't there.
Money doesn't grow on trees. Was that it?
Ooh. It might be. That sounds pretty deep.
Because I've heard that. I've heard, like, really smart people say that before.
That money does not grow on trees. Interesting.
Yeah, they're saying, like, it's you have to earn it. You can't just, like, go pick it off of a tree the way you could, like, say, an apple.
Wow. Well, that's very...
Did he say, come on, listen to the money talk?
Who is that?
AC/DC.
I did not hear that. By the way, how's Tuesdays of Stories going? And your other new podcast, Mindful Metal Jacket.
One is going great, just skyrocketing, amazing, and it's hilarious. Tuesdays of Stories is doing very well. It's every Tuesday, free. Mark Norman and myself, we've been doing it for 7 years now. I think it's one of the funniest podcasts.
I've been on there 2 times.
Yeah, we stopped having guests.
I know. And I thought it might be partially because of me.
And Mindful Metal Jacket is doing good. It's holding steady. We got a solid triple-digit amount of people listening, at least, minimum.
I think that's a fun one. I think it's an interesting one, Mindful Metal Jacket. And also, I would like to possibly hear on Mindful Metal Jacket. By the way, we're live on Stereo, everybody. This is Ari Shaffir. You're listening to the Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank podcast. Live on stereo. Welcome to this live stereo show. So I think it's interesting to ask, I'm sure you do, how money changed their outlook on life, or if it didn't at all. I knew you said something to me once about winning the lottery, if you're happy or unhappy.
Wait, what's the question? Am I happy? What?
No. When you do the Mind of a Metal Jacket, a lot of it's people's depression and other, you know, types of craziness, but how money, you would think, would be like, you know, I'll be happy if I have cash.
Right.
And then it doesn't really work out that way.
Yeah, well, there's all these studies that say, like, you know, again, like, if you make $20,000 a year and then you go to $40,000, you're going to be happier. If you make $10,000, you go to $30,000, you're going to be happier. But once there's like a number, like 77,000 or 90,
I think it was 88,000, like, but it's got to be updated for where you live and for inflation. I think it was 88,000. I think it was like 20 years ago, though.
Yeah, there's but a point where you stop. You get, like, if you make $5 million and then you make $10 million, you don't go up happier at all. And in fact, there's some studies that you start to get less happy.
Less happy.
Yeah, because all of a sudden you have $20 million, and then you have that thing of like, but I have so much. I have more money than I can ever spend, and I'm still not happy. So that actually starts to fuck with you.
Oh, because it's another fucking stressor. Interesting.
Right.
Interesting. I'm
Mo
very
money
happy because I'm live on stereo today, podcasting directly to the people. Mo money, and then what happens to your problems?
Well, you have mo because the mo money you have, the mo problems you have. That might have been what Tim said. Is that possible?
It's possible. I have to go back and give it a full listen again. Sometimes I get lost in the conversation.
Yeah,
mo
go
money,
back and
more problems. Yeah, it might be that.
Yeah,
it might be that. Okay, so anyway. One of the features of stereo is that we can take fucking messages. You can take calls also, but I'm not going to take calls because then I have to drop it off with you. But we can take messages. So let's riff on some messages. Is that cool?
Would you do that with me? I hope they're not mean.
I don't think they'll be mean, but let's see. So guys, right now, whoever's listening, leave us a message. Which guest should I have on my next stereo show? Send me an audio message on stereo. But let's send some of these from stereo listeners. Okay, I'm going to press play. We can't go back and play them again. So it's just listen to it. Riff on it during the middle, but we can't like stop and start. So here we go.
Nothing every time me. You go live, it never sends me a notification.
Oh my god.
Anyway, oh my god.
Oh my god.
That was the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah.
That was not great. That was not great from Goldie. I'm gonna play another one. That's gotta be it. Where was he in? What kind of wind tunnel?
It felt like the bad part of a Kubrick movie where it starts to turn.
Oh yeah. It's like a sound effect.
Yeah. Like it's like someone's about to get raped in the mouth.
Damn, Kubrick really hit you over the head with that shit. It's like, whereas Hitchcock would just do a subtle, like, it's an up angle. Kubrick would be like,
aah! Oh, yeah, it's spooky. He's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had some decent hits.
Hey, Ari, isn't the most annoying part about, like, pores is that they sit in line and buy the stupid fucking lottery tickets for 20 minutes while you're just trying to get a soda?
First of all, I like pores as the worst thing about the pores.
I think he's talking about Rich Voss, by the way.
Does he buy lottery tickets a lot?
I think so. I just watched all of Bobby Kelly's stories when they were on tour together was Rich buying scratch tickets.
I don't know anyone who has money who loves a bargain more than Rich Voss.
Hmm.
He bought a hat at the thrift store next door to my old place, on 12th Street. Great place, everybody. 12th Street Vintage, I think. 12th and B. But anyway, I was like, oh, it looks cool. He goes, it was only $7. I'm like, yeah, it looks really like classic. He goes, it's $7. And I'm like, well, I think he would have been happier if it was ugly. To be honest,
it probably was ugly.
Yeah, my friend, it probably was. Like all his hats, they're probably pretty ugly. My friends voted against slots in Maryland like 10 years ago. And I was like, why? He's pretty open-minded. I was like, why would you vote against that? And he said it's a poor tax because rich people don't play slots and they're weighted against you, so really it's just taking money away from poor people.
Interesting. Yeah, no, rich people definitely don't play slot machines.
No, they really don't. They play the fucking stock market. They're killing it right now. Stocks are devalued, so then the Mark Cubans or whatever come in and be like, I'll take 20 of those, and then that, I'll know it'll go up. You guys don't have expendable cash.
Right. I don't understand anyway. The stocks. I don't know how it goes. I don't know what it is. I stink.
I invest in my mattress. Every dollar I have ever made is in my mattress. Over $44,000 stuffed into my fucking sheets.
I know that's bad.
Yeah. Well, you don't lose money that way.
Oh, no, you do. Bugs. You do lose money that way. Yeah.
Have you ever had a check that you forgot to cash that you found later?
I have one right now. Sarah just went away. I think she probably resents me because, you know, she doesn't make a ton of money, and then she went away for a week and came back, and I still have a check for $175 sitting on the table that I just haven't cashed.
Oh, I thought you were going to hit me with $1,000 at the end of that. I was like, whoa, dollars.
No, but I did live with a person who was very successful for a while, and we found a check, and I was like, hey, is this your check for $32,000? And she was like, oh, shit, yes, thank you. And that was that hurt my feelings because I was living in a 14-by-7-foot room.
Oh, wow. I found one behind my desk, $700 for this comedy club in Seattle. I was like, oh, fuck. And it was like 5 years old. I went to cash it. They're like, no. And I called. I was like, hey, can you recut this? And it was like, we're out of business. We haven't been in business for like 3 years.
That's hilarious.
You're not getting that fucking money. Yeah, I was so pissed. But I guess there's no real but. It would have been nice to have that $700.
Yeah.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, what was that? Is that Bandit? Dying?
It was a gecko. These tiny little geckos that crawl into your place. Yeah. And they make the loudest fucking noise.
What do? They hammer?
No, it's something like that. Oh, dude, I got to tell you about this. I was on the beach today, and I'm laying on a beach blanket. And some guy comes by, and he's like, hello. I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, either he's going to sell me something, or I don't know. You know, it's never good. At best, it's going to be like, do you know which way is this place? And I'm like, hey. He goes, hi, my name is Alonzo, I think his name was. I was like, oh, cool. He goes, where are you from in Spanish? And I'm like, Nueva York. And he goes, I'm from Colombia. I was like, oh, cool. And he goes, and then he tries to fist pound. And I don't know how to say no during COVID to fist pound from a stranger. I don't know how to do that. So I'm like, okay. And then he's like, may I? And I was like, and I'm in a new country, so I'm trying to be open-minded. So I'm like, okay. He just lays, like, fucking touching me. So I had to move over, and he was just bullying me.
Oh, I hate this guy.
Yeah, he took a nap, and then he was like, how many years are you? And I was like, and it was just like, he's just laying there. And eventually I'm like, I don't know what to do here. And I was like, hey, I got to go. Bandit came back, and I was like, I got to go. And he goes, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, I need the blanket. And he goes, nah, need. What's necesita? You don't need. And I'm like, yeah. Dude, I need the blanket back. He goes, come on, I'm lying here. You don't need it.
Oh, that's awful. That sounds like he's trying to steal your shit.
For sure. For sure. And he was like, it's fine. I'm like, it's not mine. It's my girlfriend's. And he was like, oh, really? He might have been trying to hit on me, actually. He might have been looking for some D. Because when I said girlfriend, he got like upset.
This might be Stranger by the Lake. Did you ever watch that movie, Stranger by the Lake? Did I tell you about it?
No.
It's a French gay thriller. It's amazing. It's like a great movie, but it's like it's aggressively sexual. Like you see dicks coming, like guys fucking each other in the ass.
Yeah, what, really?
Pull out, blow each other. But it's like a Hitchcockian, no pun intended, thriller. It's like one of the great movies. Yeah. And
Strangers by the Lake?
Stranger by the Lake, French film, subtitled, the whole thing. And Mark and I did an audio commentary for it on our Patreon. Hit the Patreon.
That's great. Yeah.
And it's fun, but it's a fucking great movie. I got the poster downstairs. It's got guys blowing each other on it.
Wow. No fucking way. The poster has that. By the way, we're live on stereo, you guys. It's great to be live on stereo. Podcasting direction of the people. What? The poster has dicks on it?
Yeah, I'll send you a picture. There's a guy with a white guy with a brown dick, which is fun, I guess, because there's poo on it. And then there's two guys blowing each other on the poster. It's pretty fun.
Wow. I just chubbed up.
I mean, it's a painting. The poster's a painting. It's not photos.
Yeah.
The movie is like missionary holding the ankles, spreading the air, fucking a guy in the ass, jerking a guy off till he comes. It's really
way. No fucking way.
Yeah, we watch it a lot here when I'm by myself.
Wow. Mark's on my Patreon this week, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I got to get you on there.
Please.
Yeah. All right, let's take another call. This is interesting, though.
Hey, Joe, Ari, it's right, good to hear you guys talk. Great. It's weird because say what they will about the Black Lives Matter movement, I'm just glad that we're finally seeing the Bloods and Crips getting along. That's so good in my eyes.
Not sure I understand.
Here's what I noticed. I did this last week with Ryan O'Neill. When someone will make a joke and then they won't hear a laugh. His joke was, I'm glad to hear the Bloods and Crips getting along. You know, Black Lives Matter, they're all together, I guess, is what he's saying. And then no one will laugh. He won't hear a laugh. It's on the stereo app. And so then he'll like tag it with. So that's a fun, nice thing. It's going to happen again. We're going to hear another one. I think he was making a full joke. I'm not sure. What's your take on what he was just saying?
That guy right there?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought you said he was quoting Ryan O'Neill like it was an inside joke, or no?
No. It's something I noticed last week. If a guy does a joke that doesn't work, they won't just let the punchline be the last word. They'll tag it with.
Right.
That's something I've noticed happening a lot.
Well, here's what I don't.
Now we're going to get five of those.
Yeah, quite understand. So.
Is he being.
Well, first of all, Black Lives Matter, it feels like that was more prevalent in June. I think that's over.
It's a
now.
Weird. It's a. He had something ready to go in his pocket. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now.
I see. Yeah. All right.
I think he was just ready to put that out wherever he could. I bet he's been pushing that joke. But it was either a joke or he's saying, "Oh, if Black Lives Matter, why aren't the Bloods and the Crips more peaceful?"
But he said it very earnestly. Where I was like, "Are the Bloods and Crips getting along? Maybe they are. Like, maybe I just maybe didn't see are. That news story,
maybe
and that's great."
It.
Yeah, because I know in like the movies.
Thing.
They've done that before, so
they made peace against the Jews and the Mexicans.
Yeah, so maybe that really happened, and that's great. I'm not even trying to be funny. I genuinely don't understand if that was a joke or if I'm like, hey, that's great. That is great. That's great news. I hadn't heard about that, but that's cool.
You ever hear it was Jerry Rocha? He had a joke about his uncle is too racist to understand racist jokes. Like you say racist jokes, and he just goes, "I know, right?"
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. When do you think Tim is going to come out of the closet and admit that he is a straight man?
Oh, it's not a bad.
I've said for years. I don't believe he's gay. I think he's full of shit. Maybe he sucks someone off every once in a while, but I've spent a lot of time with Tim. I've never seen him once be like, "Look at that guy. Look how hot that guy is. I'd like to fuck that guy."
Wow.
I've never heard him say it.
This is great points, Joe. Tim
Dillon
might not be a homosexual. And this guy called in who got us on this topic. You're partially responsible, too. Wow.
You and me hang out every 10 minutes. I'm like, I want to fuck that kid. I want to fuck that guy. I want to fuck this woman. You know, and he never does that.
Mehran, he does it a lot. Mateo,
that's all he does.
I think, still does it.
Mehran blew me. Was yeah. Oh, yeah. Mateo
himself.
Will talk. Yeah.
Yeah, why is Tim? And the answer is obvious. The answer is because he's a heterosexual. I don't know if he's too scared to say he's a heterosexual because of the stigma.
I think once he makes enough money, he'll come out as straight. I think he just wanted to infiltrate the system
straight,
and get those minority group hits, credits.
You know what I loved about Tim early on is that he was gay and we knew he was gay, but he would never talk about it on stage or publicly unless it was like a Trump card when someone's like, "Of course, you're a Republican, you would say that." You know, when it was like a gay related matter and he goes, "Well, I'm a homosexual and you're just a liberal heterosexual. So if we're playing that game, then you need to shut up." And then people would be
That's
like,
fun.
"Wait, what?" Yeah, it was great. But he would hold it so long. It was,
That's fun,
I love when someone holds a Trump card.
Tim had a great point, though. One time we were talking and I was like, "Well, you're diverse, you're gay." And he's like, "Let's be honest. If someone puts on a show and I'm the diverse part of it, no one's happy with that." We're like, no, the guy, the guy with the really gravelly voice going, you guy. Like, he's gay. Nobody's like, nobody's like, great, okay, cool.
I knew there was this art project about, it was for Gay Pride Month, and they were like, we're getting all stuff that, that promotes homosexual culture and homosexual rights. And then they'd be like, okay, here are, you know, 10 art pieces, paintings, you might call them, that do that. And they're like, great, are the artists gay? And you're like, well, wait, I thought the message was that it had to be promoting homosexual rights and stuff. And they're like, yeah, but also we just need them to be gay. And then one of them was like, is this person gay? And we're like, I don't know. And then they looked like, yeah, he's gay enough. He seems gay.
That's hilarious.
It's like, that's what you need. Yeah. Oh, I got in trouble for not booking any minorities on like, storytelling shows. I'm like, Joey Diaz, he's Cuban. They're like, I don't know. And I'm like, what yeah. don't you know? Diaz.
Not good enough.
Not good enough. Sean Perlman, we had a friend, and he's half I don't know, some Asian, I think Japanese, and then half Jewish, and his name is Sean Perlman. And my friend David Taylor, you might know him, he was like, dude, change your fucking name. You're writing on writing packets and they don't know you're a minority, or the right kind of minority. And he was like, what do you mean? He was like, Sean Perlman doesn't represent that you have Japanese in you. And so I think now he goes by Sean Kenji Perlman.
Sean Pearl Harbor.
Sean Pearl Harbor is a better way to say it.
Yeah.
You know that old Tamayo Otsuki joke?
No. What is it?
She goes, I am from, by the way, we're live on Stereo, everybody. Get the Stereo app and you can call in next week when I do another one, or in 3 weeks whenever I do the next one. But follow me on there. Hello, my name is Tamayo Otsuki. Tamayo, it comes from the Japanese word, it means pearl. And Otsuki is, I mean, a harbor. And it was a big, you know, surprise.
I know the difference is if you're happy and you win the lottery, you die with cocaine, definitely. But if you're sad, you definitely die with cocaine, too.
Not bad.
Nice. That guy loves cocaine.
That's why I just love cocaine. Dude, I don't mind someone who's a cokehead as long as they do it quietly and away from me, and if they're not embarrassed about it, which is almost every cokehead is so embarrassed about it.
Well, I always find coke was the drug that nobody ever talked about it being great. Everyone was always like, don't do coke. Coke fucks you. It makes you crazy, blah, blah, blah. Like, no one was ever like, I do coke and I love coke. It's so much fun. I didn't hear much of that. Like, weed, everybody was like, weed, man, fucking, you got to get the weed. And mushrooms was always that. Coke, no one pridefully did coke, in my experience.
Did you do coke or no?
I never did coke. No, I was not a coke fella. Oh, no.
Oh, you hit one. You want to do another one?
That's no, it. I was trying to too get rid of that thing. I didn't know that what it farts. Was.
Oh, yeah. That what? The numbers? Are you OCD? Dude, so it's, here's what everybody says when they do coke. They go, I hate coke. Like you said, I hate it. And like, how many times have you done it? Like, I don't know, like 80 times. Gillis is now into coke. I like that. Some other of our friends are like, nah, I like it. But it is a weird one. What?
Boy, I don't like to hear Gillis is doing coke. Jesus.
Yeah. It's making a comeback. It's making a solid comeback. People are doing it casually now. They're not losing their life to it anymore. So.
Then if it's making a comeback, then by all means, I hope that our buddy does a bunch of coke. I just didn't realize it had come back. That's why I was concerned.
If you're just tuning in, by the way, we're live coast to coast on Stereo. I guess the style part of it doesn't really matter to you. You want to hit one and press a play?
Sure, I'm nervous. Press a play. You sound like Luigi.
Just press and leave.
Press a play. All right, I'll try. But
I know money doesn't necessarily make you happy, but I'd rather be.
Okay, I had to mute that one. That was bad.
A lot of background music in that, Queens Labobia.
So as soon as I press it, it starts playing?
It just starts playing.
All right, I'll try another one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the more you make, the more problems you bring to yourself and others around you. And I also believe that people who didn't have money and then who have money now use it as an empowerment measure to kind of show people like, hey, I have money now. And I think you know, it's true where the more money you have, the more problems you do have versus, you know, being stagnant and comfortable with what you're currently, you know, stuck with. I hope that makes sense.
Well, that was really thoughtful.
I will never get as insightful a comment ever again.
That was good.
That was some level of intelligence. I definitely not a fan of mine. He was definitely just on stereo and he's like, oh, some people are podcasting. Let me check this out.
Well, my thing was, this is what I had though. Do you have this ever?
Okay.
This is where I still have my anxiety is improved, but I still have it where that guy started talking and I immediately was like, this is too long. I don't want to be in control. Why did I press the thing? It's Ari's show. So I didn't even hear what he said. I was like, do I mute him? Do I stop him? Will he be mad if he hears it? Is he listening to the? So I don't even know what the fuck he said.
His name was Call Me B. But I think he said, I don't fully know what he said either. I did look at how long it was going to be. He was so well spoken.
Yeah, he seemed nice.
I felt inadequate compared to him.
He said wealthy people use wealth as power.
Oh, yeah, as an empowerment tool. But people who became wealthy later use wealth as an empowerment. What does that mean?
To empower other people. So like people like us, we're empowering other people, I think. I don't know. That's what I like to think. I give money to people a lot.
Okay, so here's some insight for you. So all through like the history of NorCal, the poor have been sort of fed by the rich. Like the rich people, the people who own businesses, would give money to like programs, art programs, soup kitchens, stuff like that, anything, right, to help the community get better. That was just always the way. But the New Deal is with tech stock wealth, they're not doing it. Tech stock wealth in NorCal, they're just like, nah, we're keeping our money. So it's just this weird new thing where the money that was coming through no laws from the rich is just dried up. And so now all these programs are just gone. And it's kind of sad. I should have a joke there.
Tragic. Yeah. Well, fuck them. AIDS.
I try to throw money around to comics. That's what I do with my money. I try to find like ways to like make them cash.
It's great. It's helpful.
Yeah. I don't know another way. No, I guess promotion too. But that's not using your money.
There's a great podcast out right now. I listened to it a little earlier because I belong to all the apps. But Sam Harris's newest episode just came out today. It's him and this guy, William McCaskill, talking. And they're talking all about what you can do with your money, the best things to do with your money, and giving away 10% of your money if you have money. It's pretty great. You should listen to it. You'll love it.
Okay, what's this podcast called, Sam Harris's?
It's called Making Sense. It's the newest episode.
Is it CENTS?
What? No. Is it? Ugh, yuck.
Is it an investment? I thought it was an investment podcast, Making Sense.
No. Ugh. Yuck.
Yuck for my joke?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yuck for all of it. I'm sorry. Hold on.
How long into your comedy careers did you guys feel like you were actually doing well? I've done 6 shows so far. I hate myself after everyone. Just wondering when that might stop.
That's amazing. I mean, I released a special this year called I Hate Myself. So
that got better and better. It started with how long until you and then it went to like, I've done 6 shows. I was like, oh, and then 6 shows that he added, and I hate myself after every, oh, that just got better and better as it went. What a fucking, hey dude, you take that format. That's set up, punch, tag, 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 and you'll be as good as Patton Oswalt in his prime. That was a great comment. What?
I thought he was going to say 6 years. He said 6
yeah,
shows.
Shows.
6 shows is like you haven't even, you're not even doing comedy yet. That's hilarious.
6 shows.
I mean, 6 shows is like, that's a weekend.
That's right. That is a weekend. That's Thursday through Sunday. Wow.
God, I just had a moment of like, God, it's going to be so weird to go back out on the road at some point.
Is have you been on the road at all?
Not really. I've done gigs, but no, I haven't really. I did a one night or two shows in Foxborough, but I haven't done like a Thursday through Sunday, two shows Friday. Like I haven't thought about late show Saturday in a long time. Like being on stage at midnight, drunk people fucking knocking over drinks.
I did Stress Factory, but that was like drive there, drive home, you know, and outdoors. Same. Royer's Throw we did together once. But you know, that's one night. I don't know how that's going to be Saturday when you don't have to wake up for radio in the morning Saturday, and then you're just done, and you're like maybe have an early flight, and just like, but you also feel like sort of celebrating, like you did a weekend and you have the check in your pocket.
God, it's weird. Right in this moment is the first time I've thought about this in a long time. Yeah, that feeling of like, yeah, Saturday night, you're back in the hotel, and you're like, I did it. And then you're like, shit, I got to pack. I got to get up at 6 and picked up. And then landing on Sunday and leaving again Thursday.
Ugh. I mean, so have you thought, this is separate from everything we've talked about, but have you thought at all about, like, I did a podcast with Vecchione about this. It'll come out in January. But have you thought at all about, like, the blessings of all this shit?
Yes, all the time.
Because the negatives are obvious. So, what have you seen as a couple, some of your, like, blessings?
Well, it's definitely, I'm grateful and fortunate to be one of the people that has a podcast that makes money, which is amazing.
Yeah, I'm making money from fucking middle of fucking nowhere. Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely been something I'm going to carry into when life is back to normal, of the feeling of like, I always had the feeling of like 2 days off in a row from comedy. I can't do it. I'll turn to shit. I'll suck at comedy. And knowing now I can take, and I've always been a guy that takes a week off here and there, but knowing I can take a couple months off and be fine. And just the desire to be home. Last year I did 20 consecutive weeks on the road.
I remember asking you for something there, and you were like going nuts a little.
Yeah, like Thursday through Sunday.
I'm fucking busy.
Leaving Thursday, coming back Sunday, home for 4 days, gone for three, gone for four, home for three. I did that for 4 months straight. And I don't want to do that anymore. And I don't have to. I'm not going to do that. So I've also had like a better meditation practice during this and all that shit. So I feel mentally healthy.
I mean, that's great. Yeah, the ability to take some time off. I remember you asked me once when I went to Southeast Asia, and you're like, aren't you afraid you're going to miss something? And at the time I was like, well, I just recorded a special and I have a TV show that's ended up not coming back, but that I'm coming back to. Like, what do you mean missing out on what? And you're like, yeah, I guess so. I can just see it in your face. You're like, yeah, I guess we are kind of like on our way already.
Yeah, well, you have that thing of like, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, and all that bullshit.
Yeah. I think it's fun and almost better for your comedy to take 4 or 5 days off and like completely go fallow in your brain a little bit, you know, and like feel boredom or feel whatever, or go to a movie two nights in a row. I don't know, just so you can draw from that shit in general.
Totally.
And then, yeah, I'm not looking forward to those nonstop road dates, the 2 weeks, the unpacking your bag just so you can repack it. Just like time to pack my bag. It's like, oh, shit, my laundry's still in this. And just like throwing it to the side. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's nice. I haven't had one of those. I'll be happy to get back to work. And by work, I mean like creative work on stage. But yeah, I'm not stoked to get on a plane again.
Yeah. Been a nice break.
Yeah. All right. A couple more. This is fun, dude. I am actually enjoying this.
Yeah, me too.
I have never believed that more money, more problems. That's not true. It's how you view your life and handle your situation. Whether you're poor, whether you're rich, but if you obtain that money in a bad sort of way, yes, you're going to have problems. But if you obtain that money and truth, then you won't have any problems when it really comes to money. So
I disagree. I love the idea that it's like those people, whoever did something bad, have to live with themselves. You ever hear that? It's like they have to live with their knowing that they did this and that. I don't think those people think about the fucking bad shit they do in any way. I think they're just like, bury it.
No, that's happening.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, that's happening right now all over the place. People are like, they don't, you know, like, oh, they have to live with that. They're like, they don't give a fuck. That's why they're doing the thing.
Yeah. Joke thieves, that was the same way. It's like, well, they got to know they didn't write that joke. It's like, they don't. They fully think they did write it, and they never consider it. If you ask them, like, oh, yeah, no, I guess I didn't. Who cares?
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
You know? Yeah.
That's why they did it.
They just don't give a fuck. Yeah. Yeah, if you came up with your money well, it won't be more. Yeah, that's also. Yeah, I disagree with her. I like the attitude from this lady.
Yeah, I appreciate the
for
sentiment.
For sure, I like the positive attitude.
Yeah,
but it's like it. You don't think 20 people are going to come to you with their hands out if you came across $2 million nicely? Still going to be issues.
Agreed.
No. Yeah. Okay. Great. Great. two more, then we're done.
I also believe that those who were bullied at a younger age or those who were raised with nothing and were always told they had nothing and all of a sudden have money are the ones who have the most problems, because now they're showing to everyone, hey, I have money. Where the fuck were you before? And now here I am shitting on all of you. I mean, I honestly think that's like a thing in the modern day world where people show their money as a sense of empowerment. Would you agree?
Okay. It's that same smart guy again.
Call me B, your name. Call me B, your name.
Yeah. Call me B, your name. Yeah, sure. Not bad. Not bad. If you're independent movie pun lovers. Yeah.
Another gay movie. Tough. My second gay movie.
Very
tonight.
Gay.
Yeah.
Very gay.
That guy talks in a way. Rub what? Yeah. Come? What?
What?
That guy talks in a way that I'm like, I guess I agree with him. He sounded really smart and thoughtful, so I'll just, yeah, fuck yeah. He sounded like he put more thought into this than I have.
Eddie Griffin once, when I told him I had this problem, I booked my first commercial, and it played a bunch. And in L.A., it's so, everybody's so fame-hungry there, and so, like, success-hungry. They're all so needy. And I remember going to Dublin, so the big, hot comedy show of the week that Jay Davis and Ahmed Ahmed ran, and where Dane Cook really became Dane. And some chick, pretty, but she was around comedy. I always say hi. Wouldn't even look at me. I mean, literally, it was like from a comic book. I'd be like, hello. And she's just like, put her nose up and keep walking. Not even nod back. Hello. Like, I've seen you around, you know? I'm not trying to hit on her. Anyway, I booked my commercial. Started playing a bunch. I'm at Dublin. It's like a lady, same one, who never even say hi to me. She goes, hey, I saw your commercial. That's great. And it was like, what? And it bothered me. Because I was like, are you only treating me like a fucking human because I have some fucking success? And so I mentioned to Eddie about it. And he goes, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know, man. It just feels not right. And he goes, you want to get back at them, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, sort of. Sort of I do. Sort of I want to get back at them for being such a jerk to the same person who booked that commercial. I'm the same guy. And I want to get back at you for doing that. He goes, here's how you get back at them. Fuck that girl. That's how you get back at them. You have sex with them.
Oh, I see.
And then they won't even know. Yeah, it's a good theory.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Eddie. Thanks for calling in, Eddie.
Let's do one more and then we'll call it. This is fun as shit, man.
I think the more money you have, the more spending you do. You want to spend, and people who know you have more money want to take from you. They expect from you. They want. So your expenditures have, of course, they increase, and friends you didn't know you have, all of a sudden friends and family, they come running around, come to you asking for this, asking for that. That's why when you have money, you should act like you don't have any. Don't say nothing to nobody. Don't let nobody know you have money. Like, dress regular, you know, and just spend, go on vacations and do all that stuff, but don't show off. Don't go on Instagram showing, oh, you got this and that and whatever, because people are going to want it. I don't understand some people. Everybody's going to want what you have.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with her.
Yeah, I would just say a lot of these people have horrible family. Doesn't it feel like you always hear this thing of like your family's going to come for handouts? And I'm like, who are these people's families?
Yeah. My mom literally, when I was staying there for quarantine, I think I got like a subscription to Fresh Direct or one of those, you know, like grocery deliveries because they weren't going out at all, and neither were we if we were staying there. And so for like $90 a year, it's like you get like $5 off each, whatever. So anyway, I just found out, I was like, hey, it's going to renew in January. Should I do it? If you're using it, I'll still do it. And she was like, no, I shop from the other one. They have the Peapod, works pretty well, and maybe this. I'm like, it's only like $90 for the year if you're not going to leave your home. Like, wouldn't mind. She's like, no, I don't want to waste. The other ones will do fine. I'm like, yeah, my family's not the, hey, Ari, give us some more fucking money.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Some of these people, again, I think it's, sometimes it feels like people justify not having money. It makes them feel better to be like, if you have it, it's a nightmare. You don't even want that kind of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like guys that are like, oh, the big-titted women, they're just going to cheat on you. They're cunts. You got to get a fat, ugly lady that doesn't like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want. It's justifying them not having money, I think, sometimes.
And it's like, you ain't speaking from any level of experience. You're just saying this.
Right. No.
Yeah, who are these friends that are like, I don't know. I always felt bad whenever I'm around Louie or anybody and they're like, I'll pay. I'm like, no, please don't. Please don't make it a thing where it's like, you know, like I enjoy like you or me. We're in a similar category where it's like, hey, I'll pay for lunch. I'm like, oh, thanks, man. You know, it's like, or it's like, I got you a coffee. It's like, okay, that's not a big deal. But like when it becomes like more than that, it's like, oh, God, I just don't want to feel beholden to anybody.
But there are times, though, where you go, where we're on the road, like we were on the tour together, Louie and I, like we go out to like a really fancy restaurant. You're like, you're getting this. Like you made $150,000 tonight. Come on. Like you buy.
Yeah.
Like there is the thing of like, you get this. You have all the money.
Road headlining is different than just hangout friendships. Road headlining is like, Rogan got us massages once in Vegas. There was no question I wasn't going to get it. There was no like halvesies. There's no, for sure no question. Yeah, you're right. Where it's like, no, you're getting this. It's just normal times where I'm like, we should be friends here.
Right.
Or they'll
right.
try to pay you back for a coffee, you know, for something small. And you're like, dude, please let me.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fun.
Yeah, yeah. It is nice when you're like, nah, you're for sure getting this. Paulie left me in Renazisi once. I think at Ingram, too. He took us out to a restaurant. We're like, we can't afford it. He goes, I'll pay for it. And then he goes, yeah, you guys get the tip. And we're like, dude, the tip is more than you would have spent.
Right, right.
You got to pay for all of it.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Let you go. I really appreciate you doing this, man.
Yeah, it was fun. It was nice to talk to you.
It was fun. It was nice to talk to you. Let's get a chat going or something later. Let's get some friends and fucking talk shit about everybody.
I love that. Nice
some
Zoom.
Of those sessions again. Yeah, nice Zoom. We'll just fucking talk shit. We'll have a list of like each of us have two people to talk shit about. I'm sure we'll have some double ups, so we can just go until we're out of people to talk shit about. It'll just last us like
beautiful.
8 hours.
It I
does
love
sound
it.
Beautiful. Yeah. Buddy, I'll talk to you later. It'll be on my Patreon soon. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Parts,
do you have anything? Oh, wait. I'll put it in the fucking intro too somehow. But guys, Joe List special, I Hate Myself, is currently out. Currently blowing the charts off the tops on YouTube.
It's almost at 2 million. I'm like 50,000 shy of 2 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What?
So get in there. Someone go be the 2 millionth person, for God's sakes.
Dude, that is fucking nuts.
Pretty
when
wild.
My Comedy Central special came out, they were like, it performed way better than expectations. It got just under 500,000 views.
Wow. That
wow,
sucks, man.
2 million.
Yeah, 2 million. It's at 1.95 or something like that. So go watch
Damn.
It, for God's sakes. And it's good.
Guys, everybody watch it. And it's great. I was at the taping. It was fucking killed live. There was nothing done. Well, I don't know what was done to it, but nothing needed to be done to it because it was fucking great.
Nothing
what a
was done to
fucking
it.
Show that was.
That was the best. That was almost at the end. It was March 2nd. It was right before this all happened. We went to the diner. That was fucking great. And Louis bought.
And we went to the diner, yeah. Louis bought. That's right. He was like, I'll buy. It's also like, if it was just me and him or me and him and you, it's like, okay. But once you got like three or four people, it's like, hey, rich guy, you got to do this now. I can't afford
it. Yeah. Make it happen. It's my special night.
That
was fun.
Yeah, that's right. You're like, you guys pay for it. Yeah, what a fucking treat. All right, Joe. It's great talking to you. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, everybody. That was the fucking podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Stereo, for sponsoring this. It was fun as shit. I'm really loving taking these calls with people. I'm really, really enjoying it. I could try. Select a new... Nah, I'm not going to take a caller. But I don't know. I'll do a few more of these, at least. At least for the outros. I like fucking doing them with somebody. Taking a call. I don't know. Guys, don't forget... I got yoga coming to YouTube, January challenge, every day in January. If you're fucking want to get in shape, fucking do it with me. Yoga. Get a fucking hot yoga buddy. You guys, trust me, it's usually between 20 and 30 minutes, and 8 minutes of that is meditation and jokes. So it ain't hard, but it'll get you stretchy, it'll get you in shape a little bit. There's a couple new ones out for December. Watch those. Show how fucking easy it is. It's all right. I'm not that flexible either. It's fucking accessible yoga, but I'd love for you to do it with me. Go to youtube.com/Ari Shaffir. And that's all I really got to promote. I'm going to have a year in review podcast coming up either January 4th or the last week of December. And then I don't know, a bunch of great shit coming up. Mateo Lane talking about homosexuality. Oh, the lead singer of the Pink Louds. That's a fucking great one. John Dennehy. This writer, Mark Norman, is on one. We did a road trip together. Anyway, a lot of great ones. You guys, thank you very much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. All the Stereo people. I'm probably going to do this again in a couple weeks. I cut podcasts with Burr. And then maybe I'll do one anyway for the resolutions one. I might do one with New Year's resolutions with a bunch of comics. Maybe I'll get some from you guys. Resolutions. Anyway, thanks a lot. I guess follow me on here and on Stereo. This is pretty fucking cool. I don't know. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube account, youtube.com/AriShaffir, where you can watch live videos. This has been Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 411. Eat the rich. Gas the poor. For Tim Dillon and Joe List, I'm Ari Shaffir saying so long.
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you've got no money. She just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah? Well, I can't see anyone else smiling in here. Are you sure? You want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand. Ran to Platts above a shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some flats and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still you'll never get it right. When you're lying in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all here.
You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Cause there's nothing else to do.
Because there's nothing else to do.
Get you through. what you do because you think that poor is cool.
Like a dog lying in a corner, they'll bite you and never warn you. Look out.
They'll tear your insides out because everybody hates a tourist.
Everybody hates a tourist. Especially one who thinks it's all such a lie.
Yeah, and the chip stains grease will come out in the bath.
You will never
understand
how it feels to live your life with no meaning or control.
And with nowhere left to go. You're amazed that they exist. And they burn so bright while you can only wonder.
Rent a flat to borrow a shop. Cut your hair, get a job. Smoke some fags and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still
you'll never get it right. Cause when you've laid in bed at night watching roaches climb the wall, if you called your dad, he could stop it all, yeah. You'll never live like common people.
You'll never do
what common people do. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Cause there's nothing else to do.